B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2 to 6, Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him. But never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about ball, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lifesaver caught him. Top shelf A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. Resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Yeah. Mike Missinelli, Friday show. The Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5. The Fanatic. And so we got a lot to talk about. And last night's game was more than just a game. You're watching Ben Simmons right now and you're going, what has turned on here? Because he certainly looks like a different, it's like a different mentality, Ben. Like, we always knew that kind of talent was there. It's like he somehow found the ferocious gene. I don't know where it's come from, what precipitated, whether it's natural growth, whether it's some. Now, last night, and I've been saying this for a really long time with Ben, that he seems to need a subplot to really get him involved. And he had a subplot last night. All right, I'm going to shut Luka down. And this is national TV, and you're going to see how I can shut these so-called great players down. And that's what he did last night. He turned the game completely around with his defense. He took that Dallas team right out of whatever they do. They're a decent offensive team. They score a lot. Last night, they were confused. They didn't know what was going on in that game. And Luka was ordinary. He looked downright timid in certain spots last night. So the question, like, I'm getting closer to believing that they could pull this off without making a significant move. Like right in their current form, yesterday we were talking about it. I still say, well, you need it more. He's got to make something. He's got to do that. But now I'm listening to the guys on TNT last night. I listened to the announcers. The Sixers are there. They're, you can't make a case. I don't think you can at this point, except to project because of the greatness of those three on the Nets, that the Sixers are behind the Nets. And you look at a 7-game series. Now, it's possible the Nets have too much firepower and you're going to need to score along with them. But defensively, the Sixers can really play good basketball. But this has turned on one guy. Like, Embiid didn't have a great game last night. It didn't matter. That other guy is turned on, and I don't know what happened. Before our eyes, the dude turned on, the light turned on. Now, he still doesn't shoot the ball, but he looks like a different guy. Does he not look like a different guy to you, Tyrone?
He does, and he sounds like a different guy. Because one thing about him is we haven't been able to reach out and touch Ben Simmons. He keeps himself sort of at arm's length, and that's a choice. Now, all of a sudden, he's speaking. We're seeing his personality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like somehow, maybe it's something that happened off the court, perhaps. It could just be a maturation or something that we're now seeing on the court. Because he's played well before, but we've never seen him play this well, have this kind of confidence, and actually be willing to talk and go do interviews and stuff. This is just, something's different. You're right. I don't know what it is, but he's different.
There were two fears for Ben early in the season. And one fear was talked about openly, publicly, that it is possible that they would like to trade him and move him for a guy like James Harden. That was being talked about. I don't think there's any question. And then word came out and said Houston didn't want to deal with Maury, whatever. But maybe he said, you know, I thought I had it on easy street here. They're going to trade me? Really? So maybe that was an onus that it needed to kickstart him. And then if you move on further, like the people say, well, he's not an all-star this year. But all of a sudden, I'm not going to make the all-star team. I can't have that ignominy. So he turns it all, makes the all-star team. So here we are now that he seems to, the thing about Ben is that things have come so easy to him. He has always been cultivated as the precocious guy who's the star of stars and is going to be the star of stars. And it's possible that he took that for granted. And now he says, you know, I gotta go to that other gear. I didn't think I had to before. I thought I was good enough. Now I have to go to the other gear. So whatever it is that motivated him, whatever motivates him from game to game, because he seems to need something like that. Last night was Luca. You could tell. Oh, yeah, Luca? Okay, we'll see how he does here. And you can tell he was like obsessed with shutting that dude down last night.
Yeah, he played out of his mind. And I keep thinking about what he said about Doc Rivers and how Doc holds people accountable. And I'm wondering if that's what he needs. Like, he needs somebody who's constantly on him and coaching him up. Because if I know that, and he doesn't put the pressure on with Ben shooting, but I know that if he's the type of player that kind of needs his back pushed against the wall, like we said, you know, when he plays against LeBron, he always plays up to LeBron's competition. I'm wondering if Doc coming in also is a big factor in it.
I think he respects Doc a little more. He knew Brett Brown as a friend. Yeah, a friend of the family and the whole thing. Maybe he didn't look at him like a guy that had enough clout to handle the NBA situation. He knows Doc Rivers played in the NBA, was this all-star in the NBA, has coached the Wars in the NBA. So he can't get away with maybe some of the things that he got away with Brett. But with all due respect to Brett, I mean, we're just trying to come up with real. He's a different guy. I mean, there have been a lot of times where he fades away in games. I mean, we all know that. We've seen where he just fades away and whatever. I can't remember the last time he's faded away. I mean, he's been engaged in every game, attacking hard when he does go to the basket, defending hard, you're doing all the things that are necessary. So with that kind of Ben, I guess I can't count the Sixers out right now in their current form. I certainly would like them to add somebody. But in their current form, if they wind up not adding somebody, are they the favorite?
No. They're not. But they're not. But they're right there. They're right there. And the reason they're right there is because we obviously zone in completely on the Sixers. But now when I start to look around the league, the Nets don't cover anybody. Now, maybe they add somebody, or maybe they do cover somebody. What has been proven is if you don't defend the Sixers, with Doc Rivers, they'll get you 110, 120 points. And now to beat them, you're going to have to go much higher. And the Sixers are going to defend. And the Lakers, AD gets hurt. They've lost 5 or 6. The Sixers have been very good about not having any of the big lulls. They haven't played great all the time, but they've been steady. And when you're steady like that throughout the regular season, there's no soft spots for other teams. Like, we're looking at the Sixers' second half schedule. Oh, this is a tough game. Mm-hmm. That's a tough game. In those cities, they got to be looking at the Sixers like that. The Clippers got to think, oh, we're going to split the 1 and 2. Oh, the Lakers got to look, oh, that's a tough game. The Bucks got to look at it tough. We're only looking at it from one side. All these other teams have flaws. So I still think the Nets are favored. But it's closer than I thought because this is a different Ben Simmons.
And I wonder that was a national game last night. So I wonder what the national audience thinks of the Sixers that they saw him last night. That game started out and it was a sloggy game. It was ugly and not entertaining. And then it just turned. And then you realize that you can appreciate the defense in an NBA game. And that was last night's game. And I think, I know the TNT guys were impressed. Kenny made a good point. He goes, you can't play small at all against the Sixers. Because with Ben playing that way, he'll just chop somebody apart if you're trying to go small and quicker. Because you can't deal with that.
You can't. And the other thing is where Joel Embiid comes in is when other teams go small, you can always find a guy for Joel Embiid to cover. If you had an Ofi center, like even Gobert. Utah gets in trouble in the playoffs in the past because when teams go small, Gobert can't jump out on a wing and guard him. Embiid can. We just saw Embiid do a good job guarding Siakam, for example.
Yeah.
So how do you beat him? If you go big, you can't play the offense you want to play most teams. If you go small, Embiid has an advantage on offense, and they lose nothing on defense. That's like Durant may have to guard Embiid in a playoff series. Yeah. I kind of take my chances with that.
It's really interesting, and we'll talk about this today. Where are they? I tell you, it takes a long time for me to get to a point where I go, maybe it's possible. Breaking news here.
Oh, my God.
Start the show. What do we have?
Mike.
Was this a trade?
No, it's not a trade. Okay. It's better than a trade, per John Clark.
Okay.
Sixers and Flyers can start having limited fans at the games Monday, according to the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, there you go.
And Phillies would be able to have fans at the home opener on April 1st.
All right. What, do we know how many?
It says Philly now needs PAs to ease their restrictions for more fans. State currently allows 500 people indoors and 2,500 outdoors. So 500 people, 500 lucky fans.
Oh, that's nice.
My guess is over the weekend, that number will change, and I think you'll end up with probably 2,500 indoors, and that number will be up to 5,000 outdoors by Monday.
Okay. So it's looking up. Things are looking up.
Victories.
It's big for fans who want to go to games, and a lot of fans want to go.
Yeah. All right, that's cool. All right, so today we'll talk about that. We'll talk. I'm going to continue the Howie Rosen. We stopped at the year 2016. So from 20, we'll do 2016, 2017, 2018. 2019 for Howie to evaluate his trading ability. We already told you yesterday that he was ranked 30th out of 32 by Pro Football Focus with his draft acumen. So now we're going with his trading ability. And, you know, whatever's on your mind today. This is like a Friday open forum type of day. So if you got something on your mind you want to talk about that we haven't talked about this week or we haven't talked about this week, please bring that up. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the Mike Mussinelli Show. Ala Abdel Nabi making his debut on the Mike Mussinelli Show. The great Happy Al is coming on. I love it. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, Studio 19, Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The way Ben is playing, I got to be honest with you, I did not see this coming. And hence, when they were talking about trading Ben for Harden, I was still done in a second. Now, I wonder if we would have done it. At this point, the way he's played, the way he's kicked it up, I guess it would have been foolish to make the trade. I don't know. Am I going ahead of myself here? Am I getting too far ahead of myself saying that this team could be right there?
No. Because you got two guys entering their prime. When you got two real players entering their prime, you have a real shot.
That's the way they control that game. Like, they've controlled games now from top to bottom, the last couple,
and
from wire to wire.
And they didn't really have to play that well to do it.
Yeah.
And that's a good sign. Like, when they're hitting on all cylinders, forget about it. They're kind of, you know, Embiid's in a shooting slump, still doing other stuff. They just look like they're really good.
Yeah.
And at some point, you got to give it up because it's not early anymore. It's a 72-game season. We're more than 30 games in. We no longer can say it's early. It's not early anymore. It's been a big enough sample size in a shortened season to start believing.
How many points did Embiid score in the first half, by the way? Would you consider his first half a good first half?
It was pretty. He led everybody with, I think he had 13 at the half.
13.
He led everybody.
So the Charles story did not come into play last night.
No.
No Moses story.
No. He actually said, I don't care about the 5 for 13. I think he might have had more at the half.
I think it was 14. It was between 13 and 15.
Yeah. Well, you know, I told you I was making my big dinner last night to nestle in for the game.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
So I finished. I did a nice job. I finally got it on the plate, and I flipped the game on. And I flipped the game on at the exact moment that they're going to the game. And I flip it on, and it was the meme. It was a meme that flashed up. I forget what the meme was, but Ernie had made it. And right before that, of course, was when Charles, because my phone started blowing up. I go, what is up here? I'm looking at my phone, he gave me all these text messages, I'm looking at Twitter. So, can we play it, Tyrone? We'll take, right out of the shoot, We got the station gets a double shout out last night on the pregame show, and I missed it. All right, so here it goes, Scott.
I told my good friend Jonathan Gale I'll be mad for Philly in the moment. Let me check this out about Philly. I'm with him.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, a kinder, gentler Shaquille O'Neal.
No, actually, my mother pulled me aside last night and said, baby, take it easy on the young guy. So you're going to see a new approach from me talking about these bumps.
Exactly. Hey, shout out to my boy Mike Miller up in Philly.
Love you, Mike.
All right, so it's hard to hear Shaq, but he... He did say he's talking to his boy John Kincaid in Philly. And at the end, Chuck just shouts out my name, like, for no reason. It was very strange. But thanks to Chuck, you know, for that.
That was great.
Yeah,
he was just thinking of you. Yeah, want the world to know.
Yeah, that was nice of Chuck. All right. Before we get to the calls, and here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. I got to tell you, the 2 o'clock hour, of course, is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. All right, let's start our Twitter poll, which I kind of have a feeling what this Twitter poll is going to be today. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Save your back with a snowblower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons of Doylestown. No, seriously, you get, like, if you're over 40... Those days of bending over and getting a big clump of heavy snow, it's going to hurt your back. So the snowblower is the greatest invention on earth. They also have a full service repair shop. If you have a snowblower now, you need a little sprucing up, a little fixing. They can do that. They'll visit to Paul B. Moyer in person or online at paulbmoyer.com. They're in Doylestown. Natalie?
Alrighty, Mike. Today's poll has over 400 votes on it early. Is this new Ben Simmons here to stay? 81% say yes, 19% say no.
Alrighty.
Optimistic.
There you go. Thank you very much for that. Let me move back into what we were talking about yesterday with the Howie Roseman evaluation. We went over a year-by-year evaluation of Howie and his trades. And the most significant move that he had made since 2010 was to move into the 12th spot to draft Fletcher Cox. That one stands above everything else. The rest of them were inconsequential trades, really, that didn't help at all. I mean, he did get Vinnie Curry and Boykin in one trade by jockeying around and trading picks. But that was the year they passed on Russell Wilson, which they've always lamented. So that kind of washes out. All right, so let's start now with 2016. And the people on hold, we'll get to you in a second. Eric Rowe, okay, that was a draft pick that everybody thought was going to be good from Utah. The cornerback, Eric Rowe, they finally give up on him, and he trades him to the Patriots for a fourth-round pick. So they reduced his value. He was a second rounder, wasn't he, Eric Rowe?
Yes.
Okay, so they got a fourth round pick out of that. And they actually then got Jay Ajayi with that fourth round pick.
And that'll be in another trade.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that fourth round pick they got, they actually turned it in later to Jay Ajayi. So how do we evaluate that?
That's a good trade.
Okay. Sam Bradford to Minnesota. For the 2017 first-round pick, 2018 fourth-round pick, the Eagles used the first-round pick on Derek Barnett, the fourth-round pick on Josh Sweat.
That's a really good trade.
All right, so far, in 2016, he started with some momentum here.
Yeah, the tough part is that Sweat's now better than Barnett, if you look at the numbers, which is a little troubling, but that's good value.
Yeah, they also... that trade allowed them to give the job to Wentz, obviously.
Who they don't like, but yes,
right. Okay, so next one, Doriel Green Beckham, who may have been the biggest stiff in NFL history for his ability, gets traded for Dennis Kelly. Kelly was useless here, and he wound up being a valuable lineman in Tennessee.
That's a terrible trade.
Yeah.
That guy started for multiple years.
Yes.
On playoff teams.
Yeah.
And he couldn't, that guy couldn't play a lick.
Exactly.
And at one point he was the number one prospect coming out of high school.
Yes, he was.
The number one in the country.
He was big and fast. All fast.
And couldn't figure out how to play.
Yep. Next trade, six-round pick for a six-round pick and a seven-round pick. All right, next one gets the number two overall pick and a 2017 fourth round pick from Cleveland for the 8th overall pick, a 3rd round pick, a 4th round pick, a 2017 first round pick, and a 2018 second round pick. So these were the trades, the capital that they needed to get Wentz.
Yeah, and that turns out that that was a disaster.
Okay.
Because once the Wentz thing doesn't work out, all those moves that you did were wasted. And we can't let him off the hook for that.
Okay, these are the players selected in the picks the Eagles traded, regardless of teams. First round, Jack Conklin, 2016, first round, 2016, third round, turned out to be Darrell Worley, 2016, fourth round pick, turned out to be Connor Cook, 2017, first round pick, Deshaun Watson, and 2018, second round pick, Tyquan Lewis.
Yeah, the Browns themselves got nothing out of it. Other teams did. The Browns, though, the Browns, for all the haul of picks they got to get, they got nothing with their haul, but other teams did.
All right. Mark Sanchez gets traded to Denver for a conditional 7th round pick.
Okay.
Yeah. DeMarco Murray gets traded with a 4th round pick to Tennessee for a 4th round pick.
Another nothing trade.
Yeah, it was a nothing trade. Linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski was drafted with that pick. I have no idea.
Who is that? Nick, I don't remember him.
They traded that pick to Cleveland. Okay, so that's the guy Cleveland took.
Okay.
All right, Kiko Alonso,
yeah, I remember
Byron
that.
Maxwell, and the 13th pick to Miami for the 8th overall pick.
Yeah, that was the 8th. That was the building block pick. That trade on its own was a good trade.
Okay.
It was the fact that they ended up trading up to get Wentz, and then the Wentz thing all fell apart to where that stunk. But just going from 15 to 8 and giving up guys you didn't want anyway, good job.
Yeah, so 2016
good year
was
for
a
him.
Fairly successful year for Howie Roseman.
Yep, all right? Overall, yep.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phones. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Eli in Newark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Eli?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, thanks. So I wanted to talk about Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought you guys were making some really good points about Ben. You know, now they talked about the accountability coming from Doc. And, you mentioned the possible trade. And kind of, you know, the subplot the guy who was going against last night from Dallas, I'm blanking on his name at the moment, but, you know, just, it seems to me like that, you know, hasn't really, he's had it easy, and he's now facing some adversity, and, you know, he's responding to it, and he's responding positively. And, you know, hearing you, like, go through all the, you know, the stuff with Howie Roseman, it kind of got me thinking about Carson Wentz and his career arc. And I kind of wanted to bring up and get your reaction to the idea of, you know, Carson Wentz's career arc and the adversity he's faced.
Who?
And like you were saying, Carson Wentz's career arc and the adversity he's faced versus, you know, Ben Simmons and his career arc. And like you were saying, it's early, but, you know, I was kind of curious to get your thoughts about that.
So you're saying that we gave up too soon on Carson? That's the point you're trying to make?
No. Absolutely not. I'm saying Carson faced adversity and didn't respond positively. And and to me that doesn't speak positively.
What adversity did Ben face compared to Wentz?
Well, you were mentioning the possible trade that, you know, that Maury was
that was a speculation. Where's the adversity? Because
how about all the talk about how Ben doesn't shoot the ball? You know, he can't shoot. And Ben,
that's not adversity. These are like little traits that people talk about. Adversity is getting injured, trying to come back from that, losing the Super Bowl because you got injured, having another guy win the Super Bowl and they erect a statue to him. They draft a guy to like hover over him. That's adversity. They didn't do that with Ben.
Okay, so you're saying that Carson has faced much more
adversity. Ben hasn't faced any adversity. At all. I don't know. Where's the adversity?
All right. Well, that's interesting. It was just one thought I wanted to get your reaction.
Yeah, no. Okay. I got you. Ben has created his own adversity by not shooting and by not doing things to expand his game. That invited people to pick on him. So that was by his own doing.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Wentz had one bad year, but the adversity was kind of created for him, or it was the injuries that got him.
Yeah. So the other thing I thought, you know, was interesting about the conversation you guys were having was Doc Rivers and the impact that he's had on the Sixers. And I actually haven't watched the games recently, but I was really, really into the Sixers at the start of the season. And just like kind of thinking about what the team looked like at the start of the season versus what they looked like last year under Brett Brown, I just thought the ball movement, even like right away, the first few games.
Yeah, I agree with you. So let me ask you, why wouldn't you have watched that game last night?
Because I went skiing today, and I went to bed early. And I noticed that they were up by like 25 points.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. You haven't watched the games lately. I'm just curious to know if you're a Sixer fan. What would not make you want to watch the games lately?
I don't
understand that one.
He was skiing.
I don't think he's actually a Sixer fan. Which is all right.
I haven't watched the games lately, and you want to talk about the Sixers seems very strange to me. You know, I think you'd want to talk about the Sixers because you have watched the games lately.
Yeah, maybe he's like a casual Sixers fan.
It's possible.
More of an Eagles fan.
I know the adversity thing like, he brought up, I think, in his mind was, where's the adversity for Ben? Ben Simmons has led a charmed life.
Yes.
Really, there's zero adversity. I mean, he plunges along no matter what anybody says. He doesn't even stop to think there's adversity.
No, Carson Wentz, even the fact that Carson Wentz was at the college that he was at means he was lightly recruited coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Ben was the guy coming out of high school, the gem of the world.
Yeah.
Coming out of high school, the number one recruit. Then he goes to college for a year. Then he's the number one pick in the draft. I'm glad that he's playing great basketball right now. But I can't compare the plight of Embiid has faced more adversity, much more adversity than Ben Simmons has on his own team. Tobias Harris has faced more adversity, been traded multiple times. In fact, Ben may have faced the least amount of adversity of anybody on the team. I'm serious. I'm serious.
You're probably right about that. Like adversity, I don't put adversity in the Ben Simmons sentence,
no,
frankly. But, you know, maybe people do. I think that he has dipped into the reservoir that he was reluctant to dip into. And whether it's motivation, like I'm trying to come up with some reasons, a hypothesis as for why it would happen. Maybe the prospect of getting traded and like having an organization, first time in his life, having an organization not think that much of him to the point where they would go, I consider trading him. Now that probably has never happened in his life. Everybody has always thought, oh my God, when it came to Ben. So here the Sixers go, well, you know what? We're willing to trade you. So it's possible that that was what did it. The parallel to that is the AI situation.
Yes.
Where AI got really scared about getting traded.
Almost to the Pistons for Rip Hamilton.
Right. And when that happened, he like found religion or something and talked about it. Talked about he didn't want to go and almost cried.
Yeah. He's emotional.
That he didn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, that could be it. I think the other thing is that for the first time this year, no one said he was the best player on the team. When was the last time you think Ben Simmons wasn't the best, like clearly wasn't the best player on the team? Because this year, Embiid's the MVP candidate.
Yeah.
I think he has enough competitiveness, not to where he wants Embiid to do bad, where then he has to push himself to do better because I think Ben Simmons wants to be the man. He's not used to being, he doesn't want to be Robin. He wants to be Batman.
He classically wants to show somebody something right now. He does. And I don't go, well, why don't you feel that same way about the jump shot? Like, people say, you can't shoot, you can't shoot, you can't shoot. I would think, using his mentality now, yeah? You doubt me? Well, watch this. Luka's coming in my team? Watch this. Like, why would he say, oh, you don't think I can shoot? Watch this.
Because I don't think he thinks he can make the jump shot.
Well, he's at the foul line. He's got, the form looks good.
No,
a lot better. He's splashing free throws.
He said something. He's been speaking a lot lately. He says, now, Cassell has been almost assigned to Ben.
Yes.
And not just with shooting, with a lot of things, floor general stuff, free throws. He says that for the first time in his career, there's a player, a person telling him, one, he's shooting more free throws than he used to. He's shooting more. And second of all, a coach that's correcting it on the fly and telling him why he missed it. Your elbow placement, whatever it is, Cassell's doing it in real time. I think in addition to Doc, Doc was able to bring in a world-class coaching staff.
Yep.
And I think Brett Brown, while some guys ended up being hired as head coaches, he wasn't established enough to bring in the world-class coaching staff.
Yeah.
He's got how many guys around him that are long-time assistants, Doc? They're mm-hmm. probably pushed back. Cassell probably pushes back. Burt from Indiana, he's been coaching 100 years. He probably pushed back. I don't know about that, Doc. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And Doc is secure enough to know, one, he's the guy, and let those guys do more. One works with Embiid a whole lot. The other one works with Ben a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I think that plays a role, too, the great staff they have.
Yeah. All right. One question. We're coming up close to a break, but a little slow on the phones early on in the show, and I get why. 610-620-975 is how you get in. Can you explain something to me here, because I'm watching the game last night, and I made a comment that I thought was quippy on Twitter. What is all this love in this town for Boban Marjanovic? Well, can you explain this to me?
Well, you know, he was like a character here, and it was like Bobby and Toby, and he has like the big hands, and people just took a liking to him. You know how we like the obscure and like quirky goofballs in this town? We kind of gravitate toward them.
Like who? What quirky goofballs do we like in this town?
Remember we loved Hunter Pence when he was like, let's go eat. And everyone was like, yeah, let's go eat.
Yeah, I hated Hunter Pence.
Right, I know, but Phillies fans liked him, right?
I'm trying to figure out what to make of it.
Ilya Brizgalov?
Like, Hunter Pence, listen, here's the bottom line. Hunter Pence played a little bit, okay? So he produced. This guy is god-awful. He's an embarrassment on the floor, this guy. And so when I made the comment, I go, because he can't even catch the ball. Luke is so frustrated, he wasn't able to get to the basket, so he's throwing like little lobs to this goof who can't catch the ball, is getting stripped. It's an embarrassment that guy's in the NBA.
I know, it's a bad, like, think about Ilya Brizgalov, everybody loved him.
He was an accomplished goalie at one point.
What was the accomplishment of Boban?
He's a joke.
He was weird, and Briz ended up being like a bust.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't work unless you could play.
But they still gravitated to him.
But Booney points out, he's like a cartoon. He's a lovable, goofy type of guy. In this city, deep down, deep down, still in our DNA, we still prefer things like grit and goofy than great at the sport. We appreciate as much as we want to win.
Where do we appreciate goofy unless goofy can really play?
I'll give you an example. Uh-huh. There are people right now, if at 610-632-0975, uh-huh. made to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
There are absolutely fans out there of a certain age who would pick 93 Phillies over 08.
But they could play.
But they weren't goofy. That was fluky.
They were gritty and hardcore. They weren't goofy.
They were goofy. That people like it. They were goofy. You can have a beer with them. They didn't win. 08 won, and they prefer 93 to 08. There's a certain fan base that likes the goof. That likes the grit.
We love the weirdo of the team.
I understand that part of it, because I think everybody does. It's like the Princess Bride, right?
Like
Andre the Giant and that whole character.
Yeah.
But Andre the Giant also was like the greatest wrestler maybe ever, right?
Right.
And so I'm going, goofy only were the Phillies that year. We're not good enough to play in a World Series. You think that team would have been liked?
No, but they didn't win, and we still like that team, some fans, more than teams that did win. I think there's a goof factor that in this city we still have, and that's something that we have to temper. The other thing that we're really good at, and it's starting to get on my nerves, we only want to complain. So, if somebody gives us a chance to be goofy, we do it because our foot is, we only want to complain. Like, if a player has a good game, we have trouble saying the player has a good game. But if a player has a bad game, it's real simple. So, we're 100 miles per hour negative.
So today, Ben has a great game. We don't need to talk about it. It spoke for itself.
If Luka busted his butt We have a full line of people saying, I thought Ben was a great defender. Luka was killing him.
Uh-huh.
Ben shuts him down, silent. So what happens is if you have a negative mindset coming 100 miles an hour, and then you can get distracted on an off-ramp of, hey, that guy's goofy. Hey, that guy's funny. Look how miserable the Phillies have been for the bulk of their history. The worst franchise in baseball history, arguably. Yet they have the most famous mascot.
I was just going to say.
In all the sea of negativity, we can say, hey, the fanatic makes me laugh. I think that we still from our losing, we get negative. And I think the Negadelphia thing is real. So when we get an opportunity to be a goofball, we take it. And he was a goofball. And he had a cute friendship with him and Toby. And we latch on to it more than we latch on to Ben Simmons being the best defender in the league.
Yeah, like we
more than being the MVP.
Yeah, we find the most fanatic, Philly fanatic-like player.
Right.
And like Chris and them are a person.
Versus just being able to say, this is great.
I mean, I'm guilty of it.
I'm hearing what you're saying. I got to, like, the psychology of the Philadelphia fan is interesting now because I want to write down all these little quirks that we have. So you're saying that we appreciate Goofy to what extent?
We love it.
We like Goofy.
We like Goofy no matter what.
We do.
Even if you can't play.
Yeah, because Booney points out, the Phillies are the worst sports franchise in North American sports history, yet they have the most popular mascot. And nothing against the fanatic. What I'm saying is we don't win a lot in this city. Not nearly as much as we deserve, considering how fanatical the fans are. Boston, only a few cities, Cleveland, are as fanatical as us, yet we win almost less than everyone except for Cleveland, probably. Yet, when we get a chance to be goofy, we lean in. Or if we get a chance to be gritty, look at that guy, that little scrappy guy. T.J. McConnell couldn't buy a beer in this city. Still, if he goes to any bar when they reopen, hey, T.J., it's on me. You're one of us, buddy. We latch on to things other than greatness because we haven't had enough greatness in the city. And I think Boban's like a mascot for, even though he was on the team in which when Joel Embiid came out, he had the highest plus minus in the whole series, and Boban destroyed the season in a way. We still love him because he's goofy. I think that's who we are.
Listen, Boban, I heard Anthony talk about this too. Boban takes me back to the era of basketball where there always was a 7-foot stiff that was allowed to play. And the NBA, I believe, has advanced to complete poetry. And I'm watching a guy like that. A guy like Boban defeats the beauty of the game. He takes away the poetry of the game. He like turns Elizabeth Barrett Browning into some Irish limerick.
That's
what he does.
On the floor.
Yes.
But he's funny.
I don't care about he's funny. I'm watching him on the floor. When I say it was, here was my tweet. A lot of people thought I was ripping his appearance. I wasn't ripping his appearance. I was ripping the way he plays. He plays like a goof. He can't play. He's a stiff. So I tweeted out, quote, hey, the circus is back at the Wells Fargo Center. And the guy goes, no, it's just Boban. But not because of the way he looks. Because of the way he plays.
Well, people took it as looks.
Yeah, no, I wasn't talking about his looks. He can't play. You know how I am with guys who can't play.
I know.
Yeah, I can't do it. The oafs, the Justin Andersons of the world. The oaf factor makes me nuts.
But we like personality, too.
I like personality. I like poetry. I like poetry in the NBA. I need personality. You know, when Embiid was doing all that goofy stuff with the WWE and all that stuff, how I didn't like that.
He
got thrown out of
the
game.
People enjoyed
it. You loved it.
Except right now
he says, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm about ball. And what happened to Embiid? He's an MVP now.
Yeah, I don't think one has to do with the other.
I think it has everything to do with another. He's knocked out the clowny stuff and he's playing ball.
Yeah, I think that you prefer less fun than we do. No, I gotta be honest, Mike.
Fun
you can't
to
pretend.
Me is poetry. The poetry of the game is fun to me.
Yeah.
That's what's fun.
Yeah, Michael Jordan people didn't just love Michael Jordan just cause he won.
I mean, just Space Jam.
He was called the best player in the league before he won a single title.
Because he was poetry.
No, because he had commercials and was gregarious and spoke well
Tweety
and all
Bird.
That. It was all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But on the floor, I'm evaluating his poetry.
You.
I'm not evaluating Goofy.
You know how many people like Michael Jordan that didn't watch basketball? It's much more than just what you do on the floor. It always has been.
I'm not talking about the endorsements and off the floor commercial stuff. I'm talking about on the floor goofiness.
I can write a Boban haiku if you'd like.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. Yeah, give me the haiku after this.
Okay.
610-632-0975. Did you show like George Mershon when he was in the league?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
It was a goof.
It was fun.
All right. We'll go back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 2:50, Mike Pastelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm not anti-fun. I'm just anti-stiff. I'm seriously just anti-stiff.
I don't think you're really looking inside yourself on this one, Mike.
I'm anti-stiff. He's a stiff. Is Boban a stiff?
Yeah, we know he can't play. Okay. But like, I know he can't play.
That's awesome, I'm saying. And so we love him. Why?
I have my high kick.
We loved him here. Why? Because he's a stiff. He didn't help you win.
Right, but to many fans, it's more than just that. It is an entertainment. No, for some people, it's also an entertainment product. And for a lot of people, he made it more entertaining.
At the end of the day, what do you think this city's about? Winning, right? This is where we get our ultimate satisfaction with winning.
Yes, but
Boban might be a lollipop that comes through. And when the lollipop's over, we discard the stem. You know? We're not going to have another lollipop. Like he was here briefly. Okay, he was a man about town. He was happy. He had a Bobby Toby thing. Haha. Uh-huh. And then he was gone. But because I guarantee you, if he was still here, the longer he was here, the more he would aggravate us because he can't play.
No, I disagree. I don't think we're just about winning. Because if that's the case, the 08 Phillies, other than Utley, would have been treated much differently. I don't think we're just about winning. Mm-hmm. I think that's a misnomer. We think we're just about winning. I think that's been proven to not be true. Look, Wentz got the 11-2. Look how many fans think about him. Like, I actually don't think we're just about winning. I think we want to be that way, and we think we're that way. I actually don't think that we want to win. We love winning, but I don't think we're as about winning as we think we are.
I think
there's a whole bunch of stuff we're into.
Yeah, we want it all. We want you to win, and we want you to be funny, and we want you to be charismatic,
What happened to Mitch Williams when he gave up that home run to Joe Carter on that team that everybody loved?
Well, people went too far.
Hey, don't worry about it, Mitch. I'm going to still wear your wig, the hat with the wig that they were selling. No. Don't worry about it. You were a goof. We loved you.
Some crazy people did, but eventually he ended up broadcasting the games, and he's beloved, and right now he couldn't buy a beer in Philly. He's beloved again.
Not anymore.
He's still beloved.
Oh, he's not beloved anymore. Well, he did that Little League thing.
Oh, well, up until then he was.
Yeah, well,
he was after the fact, he was beloved again.
He faced up to it. But at the time, he wasn't loved.
I think people, that was temporary sicko anger. But for the most part, I think that all those guys, Dykstra's a nut job. Like, I don't even know if he should be allowed in polite society. Beloved.
They don't love him here.
I think people still love Dykstra.
They don't love Lenny Dykstra. He's a creep.
I bet you if Lenny Dykstra was out and about, he would get hugs and kisses from people.
No,
but Mitch Williams, I mean, he also had, like, that wild thing. Like, he had something attached to him as well.
He had the wild thing. Everybody loved the old wild thing. As soon as he gave up the home run, it was egg the house. My point is.
That night. But it wasn't egg the house forever.
I don't know. Right, let's go to Brandon in Bethlehem. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brandon.
I totally agree with the point Natalie brought up here. We can get behind a goofy sports figure that's not necessarily the best player contributor to the teams. A couple that come to mind, Manute Bol was one that everybody got behind.
Correct.
Which kind of had a novelty aspect to it. Coy Detmer.
Correct.
Who people got behind because he wore a $12 suit on road trips. And
they love Coy Detmer in this town? What, are you kidding me?
People were kind of let cool.
Coy Detmer.
And another guy from that 93 Phillies, who was not a meaningful player at all on that team, but who people liked, was Inky Dinky Doo, Pete Incaviglia, who was past his prime.
Correct.
He hit home runs that year, too, past his prime.
Come on. He wasn't a big part of that team.
He put two with Mel Thompson.
And I would lastly say, this is a much better player, but similar story. Jason Kelce, when he got up during the rally and wore, you know, some gladiators.
He's an all-pro center.
People love that.
He's an all-pro center.
You think if some stiff offensive lineman did that?
If Winston Justice put on a mummer's hat, you think they'd love him?
No, but I'm just saying, that is the lasting image of Kelce, I think, for a lot of people in this town.
He was an all-pro!
I hear you. Well, the others weren't. The others are maybe better examples, but they're
Coy Detmer. Come on, dude. Seriously, stop with Coy Detmer. Tyron, what are you nodding to Coy Detmer?
Because it's true.
What do you mean true? What do we love about Coy Detmer?
People love
Coy Detmer. When he did that rodeo thing that Andy Reid got mad at, fans loved Coy Detmer. The neck beard.
I must have been out of town then.
My mom was like obsessed with him.
People love Coy Detmer. People are texting me right now about how much they love Coy Detmer. We love characters in this city. That's an underrated thing, Mike.
Oh my God.
People love characters. Remember the neck beard?
We love characters for the temporary basis. And if they don't win, we don't love them.
Yes, we do.
Manute Bol didn't win.
He's still loved. Manute's still loved.
He makes me smile just thinking about him.
What do you mean? People love Manute. And they believe Kelce's speech in a mummer's costume will be more remembered than any All-Pro.
All right.
It will be more than any All-Pro.
Okay. All right, let's go to the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit is good. Well, we've been chasing down this man for a long time, and we're going to talk to Ala Al-Dalnabi soon about the Sixers. And, you know, I'm interested to hear if he has noticed this change in Ben. Now, when you listen to Ala, listen, Ala knows hoops. He's been around a long time. He's covered college basketball for a lot of years as a broadcaster. Now he's in the NBA. He played in the NBA. He was a number one draft pick. So he knows the landscape of what's going on here. And I'm just curious to know whether he notices this shift. All year long we've been talking about the shift of Embiid, how he's playing like an MVP and it kicked into gear. He's in great shape the whole bit. But this bench shift is kind of mind-boggling. So, Alice coming on soon. Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, first of all, I love the 93 Phillies. Talking about characters. What's about Mickey Morandini? I love Mickey.
Mickey was the least character on that team.
I just like his mullet, his name. The way that,
you like the way Harry said it. You like the way Harry said it. Yeah, I got it.
Another guy, 4th and 26, Freddie Mitchell. Can't stand the guy. I never liked him, but the fans loved him. Not a good wide receiver. But, I mean, we liked the characters. But yeah. I'll choose the 93 Phillies over the 08, even though they've lost.
You take the 93 Phillies over the 08 Phillies? They won a World
over
Series?
The yeah.
They won a World Series, the 08.
I know, but still.
So what was it about
the characters, man? Like she said, like John Crux, You know, without Inky, he was a huge part of the Phillies, regardless of what Andrew said. He used to hit bombs, all solo home runs through that year.
All right, man. Listen, you know, it's your taste. That's your taste.
Yeah, my man. All right, take care.
All right.
Okay, bye.
That was just a quick hit. I like Goofy play. He likes the 93 team that lost more than the 2008. I can't imagine the majority of people.
That's 30%. But in a city of millions, that's a lot of people. Three out of ten prefer that team if they're old enough.
Well, you know, it's probably because I was too close to that team that I didn't look at him.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't look at him as goofy. I looked at him as sinister. But that's another story for another day. All right, let's talk some Sixer basketball. We're delighted to be joined by our next guest. First appearance on the Mike Mussinelli Show. He's the great Ala Abdelnaby. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. You're Ala on the Sixers broadcast on NBC Sports Philly. Hello, Ala.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on. It is my first time.
This is exciting for all of us here.
I appreciate it.
So let's talk about, first of all, the way they're playing right now. I know that the conventional wisdom is maybe they need a little more. But where do you see them in this Eastern hierarchy?
Well, I see them as an elite team. I just see that. You know, there's times when that bench is a little inconsistent. The starting five we know is solid. The starting five, when they're out on the floor and they're healthy and they get a chance to play chunks of minutes, they're okay. The question has always been for me the bench and what the bench can bring. And if you're looking at needs, you know, you could always use more shooting. You know, there's never a team that says, you know, we have too much shooting. We've got to get rid of some shooters. So, if anything, some shooting with size, a veteran leader, you know, in that second unit, just something to solidify it. Because you saw last night, for instance, Dwight Howard had a huge matchup advantage, but there are nights when that matchup advantage isn't so obvious, and he doesn't get to dominate and doesn't get to contribute with that second unit as much. So, for me, it's that second unit and what you can do with that.
All right, so maybe a four that can go out and make some shots, maybe another guard. And of course, the one guy that everybody's talking about is Kyle Lowry. So how do you think he would fit?
Oh, he'd be a tremendous fit. You know, he'd be one of those guys that would make the locker room better, that second unit better. Everything would be better having Kyle there, a guy who gets to come back home. Perhaps that gives an old guy with an old legs a little bit more of a bounce in his step. I don't know if he'd be asked to do quite quite as much as what he was used to being asked to do in Toronto. So I think there are a lot of pluses for him. It just depends on what you have to give up for him. Whatever the rumors are that they're asking for, I'd like to just see a little bit more concrete. But, you know, if you can get a guy like Kyle Lowry, Bielitsa, a guy who's 6'10" and can shoot from long range, who was supposed to be a Sixer years ago. Those are options out there that are enticing at times because of what you see you need. But again, it all boils down to the starting five being healthy. And when you make that playoff run, having everybody available.
Listen, you've been with viewing this team for the last several years, and so like when we look at the big change, the biggest change here is the head coach. What are you seeing that Doc is getting out of this team that maybe the previous regime did not?
Well, I think it's the head coach and the shooters that they have from last year. That I think creates a lot of spacing out on the floor, which allows Joel and Ben to thrive. So it's Doc, obviously, with the new system, new play calls. New regime overall, new attitude from top to bottom with the new GM. But I think, you know, it's the way it manifests itself out on the floor. And I think having that different personnel than what Brett Brown had in the past, I think that makes just as big a difference as having a new coach because you can see it out on the floor. The opportunity, because we know that there's nobody really in the league that can stop a Joel Embiid when he's able to go one-on-one. He's had more one-on-one opportunities than he's ever had. Because of the guys out on the floor, a guy like Curry, a guy like Green, who just command respect, and you've got to space the floor. So I think as much as Doc, and he's come in and he's kind of emphasized Joel being inside and playing a little more inside-outside basketball than they ever have in years past. So I think last night was an anomaly, him shooting the many threes as he did, because Boban is just so big. But at the same time, we're seeing Joel a lot more inside, which I think is the benefit of everybody out there.
Talking to Al Abdelnaby, who is, of course, a Sixers analyst on NBC Sports Philly, Sixer broadcast. Al, I'm going to get into your college career in a little bit. But first, let's talk about the number 2-5. And, you know, we're talking in the first hour of the show about he just looks different. And whatever it is that has brought this aggression out of him, I don't know what switch was turned on, or like, what are your theories on the way he's playing now and what turned it?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the guys out on the floor with him. We saw in the past teams would slough off and just kind of camp out the lane with a multitude of guys, not just the guy covering Ben, but guys would leave guys out on the wing and crowd the lane as well, and gave Ben no options really but to kick it out or pull it back out. But now that there are shooters out on the floor, those defenders have to be out at the three-point line. So when Ben is playing that north-south game, he only sees one defender basically back there, and he's going full speed. He's able to get by them. And what we're seeing now is instead of those like 7-8 foot little runners that he normally used to take in the past, he's getting all the way to the rim, and that makes a difference because now he's getting to the line. The confrontations at the rim caused those fouls. He wasn't getting those before because he wasn't getting as deep because the defenses were crowding that lane. I don't want to get too technical, but Ben's basically seeing a wide open ocean of space for him to play in. I think that's one of the many reasons why he's thriving.
You know, I also think he hasn't been afraid to get fouled, which I think has been in the past, because he looks like he enjoys getting to the line. I mean, I'm missing something. He looks like he's not afraid to get to the line and shoot 6-7 free throws a game.
Well, he doesn't dread it. You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. You don't dread getting to the free throw line, and I think that affects your play. And now that you're confident and you're knocking down free throws, you start to look forward to getting out there at the free throw line. And that makes a huge difference. We all know about the power of the mind. And when you start looking forward to things as opposed to dreading it, different results happen. But I think the first couple of steps were him having that initial success, getting to the free throw line, making them, and then you build from there.
Al, you have a very interesting background. Born in Egypt, but got here like really young. And gravitated in the North Jersey area to basketball. How did that happen?
Well, Mom and Dad, we were supposed to head out to San Francisco, and I think on the plane ride out, Dad heard that New Jersey was a little bit better with more opportunities. You know, we're the American dream. We come from another place and wanted a better life for themselves and their kids, and that's exactly how it went down. And I couldn't have been luckier, because in northern New Jersey, we were inundated with sports and a kid who I guess it was ADD. It wasn't diagnosed at the time, but a kid who just couldn't sit still had all these outlets to go to and channel his energy. And it eventually led to basketball. But basketball was not the first love. It was soccer, baseball, and then came basketball. And God made me 6'10", so the rest was, you know, basically laid out there for me. But, I was just a guy who had plenty of options. And, again, this is the greatest country in the world as far as I'm concerned, and I was able to go from a place that didn't have as many options, looking back on it now as an adult, and see what my mom and dad did, not only for me, but for my sister and brother who are younger than me. They just gave us a better life with better options, and I'm still benefiting from it to this day. So, yeah, that little kid who's an immigrant, my life wasn't supposed to be this way. I was supposed to be a doctor. Education was everything in my family, but like I said, God had other plans, made me 6'10", the tallest person in my family by far, and here I am.
Wow. So your knowledge of college basketball is amazing. You obviously still keep up with it, and college was a big part of your whole existence at Duke. Those 4 years are amazing. I'm just going through my head, because I covered college basketball back then for the Philadelphia Inquirer. So I was on the scene for a lot of those games that you guys in the Final Four and beyond. I would think that you have to be one of the all-time winners in Duke basketball history, as far as the number of wins. Am I right? Like, you're 4 years. But first of all, 88, you lose to Kansas in the Final Four. 89, you lose to Seton Hall in the Final Four. 90, you lose in the national title game. That's a lot of winning games to get to that spot. Right, have you ever looked at where you rank?
I know I'm like in 100 plus. But the thing is, you got to remember, Mike, after I left, they won 2 national championships and went even further. So, you know, the totals really don't matter. The feeling is what I remember the most. Knowing that we were the best team out there, knowing that we were everyone's target, knowing that everyone was going to be watching when we played on at night. It's one of the reasons why you go there. But I'd be the first to, you know, I'd be lying to you if I told you that we expected to go to all those championship games. You know, every Final Four. The regional finals were in New Jersey at the Meadowlands to get to the Final Four. It just happened to work out that way. And on every flight home after qualifying for the Final Four, leaving Newark Airport, heading back down to Raleigh-Durham, we'd all look at each other and say, can you believe we're going again? Because even us, we were doing it. It was hard to fathom because the numbers just aren't there. I know guys I grew up with who barely made it to the NCAA tournament, let alone the Final Four. And I got to go 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's ridiculous, really, when you think about it. I'm going to tell you what game that I remember most, because I was sitting right behind the basket. And you guys, UConn, I think, was ranked number 1. I think they were the top seed. Yep. And it was the inbounds play. I want to take me into the huddle, because the inbounds play, Laettner inbounds the ball, and then it gets it back. And makes a runner to upset them. I think it was an overtime game. You guys beat UConn. What was that play? And how come you weren't involved in that play? Or were you involved in the play?
I'll tell you what's funny, Mike. It's funny you mentioned that, because there was a play earlier in the regular regulation time, and I had the hot hand. I was rolling that night. And coach's rule is to always go with the hot hand. So at the end of regulation, there was an inbounds, and it was very few seconds left, barely enough time to catch it and put it up. And he called my number, and I absolutely blew the shot. I missed it. We had to go into overtime. So the next time he's figuring, I'm not going to Olive.
Oh, man, look at that.
The Christian, and the play was a completely different play during the timeout. So we walk out of the huddle. We're calling another play. And then when Christian goes to inbounds it, he realizes that the defender is playing off of him, double-teaming me in the lane. So Christian, to his credit, looks at Coach K, and they called an audible. And the audible was special, and that's to get it inbounds and get it right back to him because there's nobody on him. And so that's what we did.
Yeah,
I did not know about the audible call. I'm continuing to run the play. Coach drew up on the, you know, in the huddle on the sideline, but Christian and Bobby on the inbounds, they were on a whole other page and they executed it by themselves.
So he later inbounded it to Hurley and he got it back to him because nobody was picking up late. That's what it was. It was a startling ending to that game, and you caught.
Yeah, I was startled too.
All right, listen, last question. Right now, no moves. Are they the best team in the East?
Ooh, no, but they're up there. They're if they're not one, they're 1B, which is a great place to be. You know, like, at least you're in a position to fight for that, you know, that championship, that title. But again, I would love to see a little bit more shooting and perhaps a little bit more veteran leadership in that second unit. Just solidify that second unit, and I like where we're sitting.
All right. Sounds good. Pleasure. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Al Abdelnaby, the Comcast Business Hotline. Just don't bounce back, bounce forward with Comcast Business. I didn't have the heart to talk to him about Furcon because he makes a great effort with Furcon on the broadcast.
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
He likes to boost them every now and then.
Yeah, trying to root the guy
on.
Yeah,
he's trying to root the guy on.
And he'll have his moments. He might not be playing so much in another month or so.
Yeah. All right, 610-622-0975. Let's go to Sean in Bethel. What's up, Sean?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Sean? How you doing?
I'm doing good, but listen, I wanted to tell you, I've been listening to your show for a long time, and you guys are hilarious, you three. But
hey,
I wanted to talk
bud.
About the Sixers bench last night.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. It's like Shake talked to Howard at halftime and said, listen, but if we're on the floor together again, I'm going to feed you and you're going to be a beast. I mean, he was just unbelievable last night. He's usually getting called for fouls and this and that. Last night, he was dunking on everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he had a good game last night. Okay.
Well, that's basically all I have to talk about.
That was it? All right, well, okay, all right. I made these quick calls today.
People
just want to make a statement.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, just a couple thoughts here and there.
All right.
They just want to share with you.
Right. He was in a time machine. He was in a time machine last night.
Yes.
Dunking on people.
Yeah, the hair's changing now, and people are coming up to me. They're extensions, right? Is that what become? Because I'm getting reports that, you know, when we were talking about the hair last night, Mike, they're extensions. Like, what's he doing? Because he had it tight before, and now it was just like a different color and kind of loose.
Yeah, because it's shaved on the sides. He has it laid down. I don't know if it's extensions. I think
somebody was
saying
I got a couple of inquiries saying that it was extensions that he's using. But whatever, it's cool, man. It's a cool look.
I think he's helped the locker room by being, and here's another one, being kind of a goof.
Yeah.
Because he is a bit of a goof.
Yeah, he is.
He's running around after Ben gets a dunk. He's flexing on the side, walking the baseline.
Great.
I'm not against fun. I'm against fun, you know, liking a guy only for fun. That's what I'm against. Like, there's no reason. Like, the Boban love should be like, come on.
Well, you'd be surprised, Mike.
Yeah, all right.
I think we like characters a little bit more. We're a bit of a more quirky city. We're actually more quirky than blue collar. Blue collar's out the window.
But I want to ask you a serious question. The longer Boban would have been here, do you think we still would have liked his goofiness?
Yes. I think forever.
I think he would have annoyed us to no end.
I don't think so.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get up there on our Twitter poll at 3:30. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Aganoff. Nat, what do the numbers say right now?
All righty, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,100 votes on it so far. Is this new Ben Simmons here to stay? 80% say yes, 20% say no, and then we added another one. Don't you worry. We added another one.
We added another poll,
and it has over 200 votes on it. Do you still love goofy Philly sports characters like Manute Bol, Boban, Coy Detmer, and Pete and Kavelia, even though they didn't win titles here? 76% say yes, they were fun. 24% say no, all about winning.
I guarantee you that the longer goofs are among you and they don't win, the more you'll hate them. You might like them temporarily. You don't like them if they don't win. They annoy you after a while if they don't win. It's all well and good until you get your eye poked out.
See, I don't know if we're really like that. That's how it should be, Mike.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how it is.
Listen, Boban getting minutes. The more minutes he got, the more people would be rolling their eyes and hating him. He was here for 1 year. Yeah, it was all cute. He used to go to Sahav. I get it. It was a man.
He used to
go to Sahav all the time. He sit at the bar.
Yeah.
All right. So he was a man. He was around town, downtown. He always taking advantage of Philly.
He's funny.
He was here for one year. Right.
Yeah.
Not even
1 year. If you kept bringing him off the bench and he would continue to annoy you with his feeble play, they wouldn't think he's a goof anymore.
I can see that. I can see that.
Where the goof will wear somebody out unless he's helping you win.
I still think a lot of people would like him, but there, I feel like as time went on, perhaps more people would be like, okay, enough.
I think you're underestimating the goof effect a little bit in this city because you never participated in the goof effect.
No, I understand the goof effect. I'm saying that we're smart enough that it's a temporary acceptance of the goof, and then eventually it'll get on our nerves because that goof is not helping us win.
And now I think you're overestimating sometimes the intelligence of the fan. Sometimes. I do.
Well, I am.
And I think I'm guilty of that sometimes.
I'm thinking that this fan base is highly intelligent to the point where they wouldn't stand for a guy like Boban for more than 1 year.
I think one. No. Maybe not five. I think he could have easily kept going for two more years with that. I truly believe that. One is not enough for a goof.
All right. I'm not feeling it. All right. Where are we with Howie?
We finished 2016.
All right. 2017. All right. This is the... I already mentioned that in 2017, that's when he acquired Jay Ajayi in October of 2017.
That was a very good trade to help push him over the top.
He traded Dorenbos to New Orleans for his seventh round pick.
That's a great trade because it saved Dorenbos' life, literally.
Okay.
Found out he had the heart condition that was pretty major, gets the surgery. And without that, he never checks his heart, and he very well may have died. So that trade's a good one
for him.
Didn't do anything for the Eagles, but saved that man's life.
He acquired Dexter McDougal. Remember him? Cornerback from the Jets. Remember Dexter McDougal?
Sort of.
He played in eight games. He traded Matt Tobin and a seventh-round pick to Seattle for a 2018 fifth-round pick. And they wound up trading that pick back to land Michael Bennett.
And Michael Bennett did help them the one year he was here. So, a good trade.
All right. Then he acquired Ronald Darby from Buffalo for Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick.
Not a great trade.
Traded Alan Barber to Denver for a conditional seventh-round pick.
That's another correction. That first trade helped them win the Super Bowl. I was going to say that. That's a good trade.
The Darby one.
Now, Darby ended up not playing well long term, but he did help him that year to win the Super Bowl. So, good trade.
Okay. Barber for seventh round pick. That's nothing trade. Fifth round, fifth. Fourth round pick and a seventh round pick for a fourth round pick. That's when they moved up to take Danelle Pumphrey.
And that was horrendous. That was the draft in which every other running back drafted could play but the one Howie took, and he traded to get him. That's a super failure.
Jernigan he got for a third-round pick.
That was a good trade that helped him win the Super Bowl.
That was a good pick. All right. So, you know, there have been a couple so far.
Yeah. It's just that the drafting, we already know, is 30th out of 32.
Uh-huh.
So... What you're not showing me is this great savvy in the trade market to make up for the bad drafting.
We'll get to 2018 in a second. Glenn's in Villanova checking in. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, Mike. How you guys doing today?
Good, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. Big fan. Before I make a quick Glenn's comment, let me just, on the Boban thing, him or you want Dwight Howard? I want to give some props to Dwight Howard. Just seeing him come on the court, I think, scares the other team.
Yeah, well, of course you want Dwight Howard over Boban.
Yeah, and Dwight Howard's, I mean...
Oh,
yeah,
did you see Boban last night? Did you watch him last night?
Yeah.
He's a disaster. They had to bring that James Johnson, who's 103, up from the 12th spot on the bench.
No, Boban is he's a character, but Dwight Howard gets some props. Anyway, when you guys had a quick debate with him with a couple friends, I am not a Howie apologist in any way. And, you know, this year's been a disaster with Wentz. But I still want to give him a little extra credit for drafting Wentz. Because my debate with my friends was, if we did not get Wentz, we do not have a Super Bowl. Just the 11-2 year.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And listen, the mindset of getting him was great. They didn't water the plants.
No, that's true. But still, I still want to give the organization credit for that because that year, that moment, I'm pushing 60. My dad's in his 80s. My kids. We can all agree as a city, that was our best sports moment ever.
Of course.
So I think that's getting lost in the whole Wentz disaster. The fact that still getting him have to count for the best move.
I agree with what you're saying, but doesn't that give you more reason to be angry that they blew it? Like the fact that they cultivated a situation that could bring you fortunes and then just like blow it apart. What's that leave you?
It does. It leaves me the greatest couple weeks of my sports life.
Okay.
Still as a member.
All right, see, I would want more.
Wentz has to take some responsibility for that, Mike.
Yeah, I get it. He does. But like, if you look, the player is always the guy that you have to make work. Like, it's not, people don't pay to see the general manager, the organization. Yeah. They pay to see the team. And if your idea was to cultivate a franchise quarterback for years, you allow that to slip through your fingers.
No, it's true. And it all, I go back, the Hurts trade, draft was the downfall. That just set everything down.
I mean, listen, there's a series of steps that you can go down, and you might think, and now the counter is, well, all I had to do was put his big boy pants on, but that's really, you're not thinking beyond when you say something like that. Because the bottom line is, the player is the key. And if you thought from the jump that he was going to be the guy to lead you to riches, I don't know, maybe I'm simplifying it too much. I just don't understand it.
I agree with you completely. Right. There's some NFL news, not Eagles, NFL mm-hmm. news. So their cheapest property now that they sell is Monday Night Football to ESPN. Both Fox, CBS, and NBC all pay more for their Thursday, Sunday, et cetera, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got 30% increase. They're going to go from getting $2 billion a year for Monday Night Football up to 2.6 just on something light. That's going to be a bargain because apparently they're expecting to double their fees from the other networks. So ESPN just got a bit of a bargain, but still they're going to have to pay an extra $600 million. So despite a pandemic and despite all the mess.
And everybody was saying, oh, well, the interest is going to wane and they're going to now have to sell the product for cheaper.
Uh-huh. Nope.
I mean, Andrew Rand did a column on that.
Yeah, so
recently.
That they weren't going to have to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was correct. Andrew Rand, right. From $2 billion, it's going to be a 30% increase. $2.6 billion going. They say it's all been agreed to. So, and now that's just the first of many deals that they have going up. But another $600 million. So divide that by 32. And that's the owners bringing in extra money for doing no extra work. Just for showing up.
That's good to be the NFL, isn't it?
Just for showing up.
Yeah. Let's go Sly in West Philly. What's up, Sly?
Mike, what's up?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to talk a little bit about Ben Simmons and the Boban thing. But with Boban, I got like my top like 5 or 10 stiffs in honor of Anthony, because he was talking about the stiff
back. Yeah.
All right, because I've called you an athletic snob a lot of times. Because anybody that can't play, see the good factor just annoys you more. The fact that he really can't play is the thing that always will annoy you. Like the fact that Dikembe Mutombo couldn't catch the ball annoyed hell out of you.
Because there was an alternative there that I liked that presented itself.
No, offensively, you look at him like, come on, man.
I didn't like him. I didn't like him.
No, but the thing I got to say about Ben Simmons before I give my stiffs is Ben Simmons, I think, with Sam Cassell and that coaching regime is teaching him, hey, man, just play to your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to get to the foul line. The fact that the Sixers shoot about 30 foul shots a game just by Joel Embiid alone, and if you make your free throws, Ben Simmons is looking at, like, if I get to the basket and I make 6 or 7 free throws a game, I'm going to be at 20 points anyway.
Yeah.
And the fact that you got little guys on them, the one thing I love about them now is they play big and they try to punish you. You can't, if they know they can't guard you or that team goes small, the Sixers punish those teams. And that's what they have to do. It was like like you thought they would play last year, like Anthony would always talk about Monstars. Mm-hmm. That's how they playing this year. It's like, okay, if you guys can't physically deal with us, we just going to punish y'all in the paint and get you guys in foul trouble. So mm-hmm. I think that's what Ben is starting to really realize, and I think you have their coaching staff is trying to really drive that home with him, and he's starting to see the success in it because he doesn't look like he's afraid to get to the free throw line.
No, that's a big key. That really is a big key. He's almost eager. He's got like a hop in his step to get to the free throw line.
Yeah, because it seems like he's saying to himself, you guys been shut me down for years, but I know y'all can't stop me from getting to the basket. And if I can make these free throws, because he's close to 70%, if you can make 7 out of 10, that's 7 points. And if you make a good 4 or 5 field goals, you had between 17 and 20 points. So
I got you. All right, give me your stiff list.
I'm going to give you my stiffs. And I love Boban. First of all, Boban is in the family tree of George Parishon, Manute Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Then you have your run-of-the-mill stiffs that just stiffs. They not goofs, they just stiffs. William Befford, Chris Washburn, Michael Olowokandi, and we had
that's
a couple,
good.
Kurt Nymphius, Mark McNamara.
You're right. Here's my point about this slide. I'll let you go. Back then, you could get away with it. Today's NBA, you can't get away with guys.
That's true. So now it's more of a novelty. Now, you can't play Boban. You can have him on your team, but he can only play maybe a couple minutes. You can't depend on him. You would be
you're absolutely right. And that's why he's glaring. When I watch the guy, he's glaring. Like, even, go back to the Bulls that were winning. Those guys that played with Michael Jordan couldn't play today. Wennington and
Purdue.
Will Purdue.
Cartwright.
Exactly. Those guys, they you can't play them in the NBA today. That's why the NBA is so much better today with its athleticism and its speed. People don't take inventory of that. You can't get away with dudes like that anymore.
No.
All right, 610-622-0975. It's a quick break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 347, Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, let me throw a couple names in because I know you love this guy, Ostertag. We got to include Ostertag in that. All right?
Yeah. People try to say, oh, he used to stop Shaq. No, he didn't.
Brian Big Country. Brian Reeves.
Horrendous.
Eric Lechner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Benoit Benjamin.
Poor Benoit. Yeah.
My boy, Spencer Hawes.
Terrible. That was the first online run-in. I've told that story before, was when people were like, see, Spencer, he said you were the worst starter in basketball. He comes to me like, that's what you think? I said, yes. Like, what you want me to, like, back down? You are the worst starter in basketball.
And you can just stay in Chicago, frankly. We touched on Bill Caro, we already threw in there, right? Through Will Perdue in there, Bill Wennington, Luke Longley.
Now, what's funny is those guys weren't stiffs at the time. Like Longley,
because the game was different. It allowed them the pace. Allowed them to stay in the game. And Joe Klein also.
And he got paid. He got a little money. Joe Klein got a little money and couldn't play a lick.
The league has made those dudes obsolete.
Imagine we talk about Joel Embiid and you talk about Wilt Chamberlain and all that, right? Imagine if Embiid had gotten 5 years. To play against those centers. With all the stuff Embiid knows how to do, he gets every night, rather than double teams and all that stuff, you get Longley
I'm hearing from I Will. People are still emailing me. I didn't
still,
even today.
We didn't even talk about Will today.
Even today, but like we were talking about Embiid. So a guy goes, you know, Will would he wouldn't be able to do that against Will. And I go, when Embiid comes out, you think Will was capable of guarding him when he comes out? With the way he moves, he's got that medium range shot. You think Wilt was going to be able to take, like, come out from where Wilt used to live and chase him around the court at the top? The game's changed. He wouldn't be able to do that, a guy like Wilt.
And another thing that does, all those 50 rebound games and stuff, that's taken away if Wilt has to actually guard a guy out on the perimeter.
Right. Wilt couldn't guard somebody of that. Like, you know, Wilt was great, large in life. I get it. But. You know, this notion that Wilt was like could play today, he could, but again, your center is required to do a lot more things anymore, and you got to be mobile. You got to be able to be on the ball sometimes.
Also, I don't want to be controversial. Shaq defensively would have a lot more trouble in today's game.
He would,
because you have to cover. Indeed, for example, him. Guys, the big guys have to cover a lot of ground. Even Gobert, who's not great at it, has to cover significantly more ground than previous generations because of the spacing on the floor. These centers have to cover a tremendous amount of space.
You would think he would mix that in occasionally when he's on the set.
It'd be nice.
That what he did. He did. I almost fell off my chair. He talked about shooting jump shots. He goes, even though I want a jump shot shooter. And like, so I think he was talking about Ben.
Yeah.
Right? I go, what? You couldn't do something? I slipped off my chair.
Yeah.
He seems to be turning a new leaf, Mr. O'Neill.
Temporarily. Let's go to Nate in Ennisburg. Nate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Ennisburg? I'm Nate. I'm sorry. Nate from Ennisburg. Not Ennis from Nateburg.
No, not even close.
Okay.
Don't even worry about it. Hey, it's a long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks,
I'm just
buddy.
Talking about these beloved, below average athletes of Philly.
Uh-huh.
Some of the guys that I enjoyed over the years, I'll probably give it my generation of sports that I truly enjoyed growing up, was Honey Buns, Hank Fraley. Yeah, I think he was beloved by like a lot of guys like me. I'm an offensive lineman. Hollis Thomas, because he was always dressed to the nines and always had like a high personality. But those guys were average players. I think they would be loved. Thinking about other sports, I could think of a bunch of Phillies like Matt Stairs, you know, coming off the bench, being like the softball player, the guy you drink a beer with, comes out and hits a moonshot, playoff game. He didn't do a whole lot for us. Pat the Bat, I mean, my God, he'd be loved, led the parade. And my gosh, how many seasons did he hit below the Mendoza line? And, you know.
Well, not many. He was actually a very productive offensive player here.
I know, but there are some years that, you know, we expected so much from him. I don't know if the town got to him or what, but, I love Jamie Moyer. I mean, he's like a wiffle ball pitcher out there. Oh, but it was really hard thinking.
Well,
about
we could never hang out, dude. I swear to God, we could. You know, it's funny. You just mentioned a couple guys. Like it was charming early, Hank Fraley, Honey Buns. It was charming until he was a stiff at center. They traded him, right?
I know.
And then Hollis, for year after year, when he would gain like 50 pounds in off season and couldn't tackle anybody, all of a sudden that charm went away, didn't it?
Oh, true. I mean, I was just thinking of like, you know, in spurts, because most of your Philly athletes come in spurts. You know, think of longevity.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. You know? Listen, the stiffer strokes are different.
But our biggest, I think, of all time is Rocky. You know, he'd be loved and he didn't win anything.
Yeah, but he, you know, listen, he was fictional. Yeah.
True. So. But I couldn't think of any Flyers or any Sixers. You know, anybody could make a shot with Iverson.
The Flyers, they made Flyers. They had like 100 goons that couldn't play.
They
pulled the wool over so many people's eyes. Fans thought they could play.
I know. That was the worst part about it.
All right, man.
Car bomb.
Jamie Moyer. All right. Well,
see, I'm telling you, Mike, there's a counterculture that you're aware of, but because you don't embrace it and keep it at arm's length, you're not realizing it in other social circles. The main conversation's about the goofs, not about the stars.
I guess.
It's a counterculture.
People are revealing that they like it because they have something in common with the guy. I don't expect to have anything in common with a professional athlete. A professional athlete is a professional athlete. He's a professional athlete because he's got skill beyond anything I could ever have. So I don't want a guy that's like me.
No, that's you.
I like to look at guys that can actually fly.
That's you.
Philadelphians, and you know, I am one, and TJ. I know so many of them, all they want to do is identify with athletes because they wish that they could be them.
Yeah, but did they... All right, I just...
That's what it is.
If we put a poll side by side with Truth Serum, TJ McConnell or Ben Simmons, who do you like more? TJ would win.
But it doesn't apply. No, like, do we... We go see singers or entertainers. We don't see them because we relate to them. We see them because we can't do that. We love the talent that somebody can do that.
Because we didn't grow up singing. We all grew up hooping. Or playing football, so we want a guy who's like us. Now, is it a flaw? I'm not saying it's not a flaw, but I'm saying we didn't grow up thinking we were Lionel Richie, but we thought we were done.
All right, I got it. All right, 4 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Missinelli shows back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. The 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. You never know where the show's going to go. And today, somehow, we got into Goofyville. And I'm going to throw it out here. Who was the best player ever in this town in any sport that you say, yeah, he was goofy? The most accomplished player who also had a goofy side. Because I'm having a hard time coming. Like, I can list the top 10 Philadelphia athletes. Not one of them was a goof. Maybe Barkley.
Yeah, well, Kelsey has been all pro many years. And he's definitely goofy.
Yeah, for
he's
sure.
He's been a starting center. Yes, he's been all pro many different times. Okay, bunch of Pro Bowls as a center.
All right, that's one.
Super Bowl winner.
That's one. He's a center.
He's goofy. All right. Well, he's a football player. He's goofy.
All right, that's one.
Randall was a complete goof. Randall was a goof. There's no getting around it.
He was a total...
He was a goof.
Yeah, he was a total spaceman goof.
Well,
yeah,
he was.
Is he like one of the most... Like, is he a top 10?
Right, but you can't...
So he was the best.
But I'm saying there's thousands of athletes, and you're only looking at 10.
No, we're looking for the best. So Randall would be the best.
No, Kelsey's better than Randall.
Okay, Kelsey, Randall.
Yeah, Kelsey's...
All right.
What about... I mean, would you qualify Joel Embiid? He's definitely goofy.
Not as much.
He's still goofy.
All right, Joel. I'll put him on the list.
He's good. Barkley had a goof factor.
Barkley had a goof factor.
He did.
Absolutely. I said that.
You did. I'm trying to think.
Were any of the really good...
There were some Flyers that were
what
goofs.
That's what I'm thinking about.
But like Tockett had some goof to him. Maybe not full goof. Big Dave Brown.
What about Chris Pronger? I mean, I know he was kind of goofy.
I thought he had no personality.
No, he had no personality.
That's what I thought.
I thought he was kind of funny because he was really dry.
Yeah, not feeling him.
Keith Jones.
Stealing the puck? He stole the puck.
Keith Jones had some goof.
Keith Jones was totally goofy.
But he wasn't a great player.
True.
He was a decent player.
But
if you're going with the top people, but which I think what you're underestimating just a little bit is on the fringes. There are players sometimes that we really like that aren't necessarily good that are really liked.
Yeah. Well, let's take Matt Stairs, for example. I look at a guy like Matt Stairs, and everybody goes, oh, look, he's got beer belly like me, and look what he did, he had a homer. And I look at Matt Stairs, and I go, I appreciate the home run, but get your butt back in better shape, and maybe you can even be better. Like, that's my reaction.
Oh, somebody tweeted, it said Scott Hartnell?
Hartnell was a goof.
Hartnell was totally Hartnell was goofy.
Big goof.
He was goof.
You're right, but Stairs was a professional hitter for a long time.
Yeah, he was. But I didn't go gravitate to the beer belly. I actually would think the opposite.
Now,
you know what I'm saying?
Two things, Mike, to get in this. People bring it up. World Be Free, absolutely goof.
Yeah.
Love him. Yeah. Watches the show, goof. Mm-hmm. And so was Daryl Dawkins.
Oh, Daryl was a total goof.
He was a goof as well. Yeah. And he was a good player. These were starting playoffs.
But Daryl's goofiness may have limited his greatness.
Possibly.
And that's where I go with it.
Possibly.
Because I don't think you need to waste energy on goofiness when you could be greater.
See, but
than
I don't.
Goofy.
I think some people are just naturally goofy and they're not necessarily wasting energy. That's how they wake up as a goof.
Yeah, Victorino was a goof.
He woke up as a goof. He wasn't working to be a goof.
Yeah.
He just was goofy, naturally.
Yeah, you're right. All right.
Like, so was Pence. Oh, real fast, though. Booney brings up another person. That shows you that we like characters. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's a lot of adults, male and female, walk around with the B tattoos just because of Mike Scott. Fringe guy never was a star. There are a lot of people with tattoos just because he's a character.
On their body.
Because he has
emoji tattoos.
Like, right, characters.
I'm a fan of the tats. I'm not a fan of the emoji tats.
Right.
I don't like him because
that's makes him the character.
The fans, though, love him, and they copied the tattoo, and the man has a he has a social media team because he needs one because he's that popular.
I mean,
I know he has a social media team. I've spoken to the people, and they need it because he sells merchandise. People buy it. Like, he has become, because he's a character...
Yeah.
People have embraced it, even though he's not a star.
I get the ultimate goof, I guess. Tug McGraw would qualify as the ultimate goof.
Close the World Series.
Tug McGraw. All right.
I mean, if you think about it, like, the city just embraces anything that's strange. We have a whole museum, the Mutter Museum, like, dedicated to weird stuff.
You got to have some ability for it to last, for the goof to last. How many people are talking about Mike Scott right now?
Man, still millions or thousands. Yes.
Are you talking about him?
Am I talking about him?
Yeah.
No,
Is he kind of like, you know, is he kind of waned on you?
I have a different, not as a guy, I'm saying as a player.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm evaluating. As a player.
Roenick was a goof.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he was.
Now he's in some trouble, but still. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Dan in Trenton. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan. Yo, Dan. Dan. All right, Dan could not hold. So we go to Rob in Havertown. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, man?
I didn't grow up in Philly, but does Lenny Dykstra qualify as a goof?
Yeah, but he's been like such an awful human that like he's gone beyond goofville to evil.
Thank you.
He went right past the goof stage to evil.
I don't know if it still exists, but in Corona, California, there's a Lenny Dykstra car wash just kind of there.
It probably does not, since every other business he had went belly up. he opened those car washes. That was one of his failed business ventures.
Got it. So a couple of weeks ago, you guys did the Bachelor episode,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked it, and I enjoyed the list of actresses that your staff put together. But I no offense, but some of them felt a little bit young.
Who?
Some of the actresses that your people put together felt a little young relative to yourself.
Which one? So I eliminated a couple because they were young.
Well, your number one choice might be slightly out of range. But I went through, and it was a fun little exercise, but I put together some actresses slightly more age appropriate. I wanted to get your reaction, if I could.
All right, go ahead.
No, this is a straight joke. Faye Dunaway.
Ooh.
Kim Basinger.
Oh, always one of my faves.
Okay. Catherine Deneuve.
Faye Dunaway. Seriously? Catherine Deneuve is about 80.
But all-time classic French beauty. Grace Kelly.
I'm like, you know, I get it.
Grace Kelly?
Grace Kelly's not even on this earth.
All right. Well, okay. So you don't.
You're coming up with a list of classic beauties. I mean, I don't know if they should make the field here.
Being alive was part of the criteria. You had to be alive to make the list. You're picking dead women, man.
My number one. Okay, she's perfect. She's age appropriate. She's height appropriate. Betty White.
Get out of here.
He had that. This is what makes me mad about
Faye Dunaway.
Right. First, you insult the man. Second of all, he planned that. He had that. He took time. That was like planned material that he worked. He probably talked to his friends about it, and no one encouraged him to tighten that material up.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
I don't. You put Clooney on my list.
Let's go. Come on, buddy.
Let's go to. Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, I got to follow that. No, Keith Jones, Hartnell, definite goofs, and probably the current flyer that's probably the guy that keeps a light in that locker room the most is Kevin Hayes, but I sure wouldn't call him a goof.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think goof might be a little strong word.
He's a little goofy.
Hazy. You got to have a guy like that.
Yeah.
And Boban.
You're talking about good players. See, again, we're getting away from the premise here. If you're a goof and you're a good player, you can survive. But if you're all about just the goof, you're going to eventually wane. And this is my point with Boban is, had he been here for longer than he was, he would have irritated us beyond belief.
Yeah, but there's something about him that they probably would be a whole faction that would cheer for him like crazy, even if his minutes were reduced to next.
If he couldn't catch the ball and kept fumbling it out of bounds and missed dunks. No.
I think he made a John Wick movie. I think he was in one of those.
Yeah, he was in John Wick.
Oh, how about Kroc?
Yeah, he was a total goof.
Yeah, Kroc was a goof. That's why I like that.
Kroc showed that was the good. He came off like a goof to the people, but he also could hit. But in reality, the goofiness was a cover.
Yeah, but it worked.
Yeah, because he was mean, frankly.
I think that you have on a Friday, Mike, don't raise the bar too high in this goofiness because it probably might prevail going into the weekend. I think that, and I think that what we're seeing with Ben is really cool. I'm enjoying it immensely. Ben is that new game with Ben is great.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, Mike.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Ed. Jim in Ashland. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hi, Mike. I've got a couple of goofs for you, but you stole my thunder with Tug McGraw. He was my first on my list, but I've got one that's a beloved figure in Philadelphia that was a real goof. Tommy McDonald.
Yes, that's before my time, so I couldn't.
Dave Schultz.
Yeah, he was a tough guy, goof.
Yeah, and I've got one in that's a golfer. I didn't play for Philadelphia, but he was loved. He wasn't a very good golfer, but Chichi Rodriguez.
Yeah, he was goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember, was he with the Phillies when he hit, was Jimmy Pearsall with the Phillies when he hit his 100th home run around the bases backwards, or was he a Met then? I can't remember.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Jimmy Pearsall, was he with the Phillies or the Mets when he hit his 100th home run and ran the bases backwards?
Yeah, I don't know, frankly.
Those are the goofs I thought of my kid in mind. And Daryl Dawkins, so we already mentioned him.
Yeah, I got it. We'll have some conversation here. I don't want people just to call up and give me goofy names. I think we spun wildly out of control here. So we got to make it part of a conversation.
Yeah, also, we got to keep it to Philadelphia. We don't. Yeah. It's not national goofs. It's these are specific goofs here. Perhaps you have a sports point to go with the specific goof here.
Yes.
Such as the Mike Scott thing. I think what helped him was that fight before the Washington game with those fans.
Yeah, and helped bond them.
Yeah, and we ended up exposing those fans who for not being the kind gentleman that they claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
With some help during that time, we end up having to have some of those guys on to discuss that and try to disguise their thing. That, I think, played a role in it, even though he was wearing a Washington jersey. Somehow that bonded him more with Philadelphia getting in that fight, which is a strange phenomenon.
Because he was fighting.
I can see that part of it. The emoji tattoos bond him with people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, I'm an admirer of great art. Great tattoo art. I think a lot of guys have some brilliant stuff on them. That to me seems a little like his look just like look like a mess. Those little emojis.
I hear you, but
he did have a deep meaning for them.
Yeah, he had a meaning for
them.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, well, they're self up for self interpretation. That's what he said.
All right, I got it. But to me, see, I look at that and go, there's no imagination in that. That's just like silliness.
Did you decide on your tattoo yet?
No. It's going to be a saying. It's going to be script, and it's going to be my ribcage.
Right, but you haven't decided on it yet.
I haven't decided what the... I got to find the saying that really knocks me out.
Yeah.
That's why I got to get that vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my next tattoo. Mine's been planned for forever.
What are you getting?
I'm getting an owl. That was my mother's favorite animal.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, the owl's pretty detailed, but, you know. The shops have done a good job.
How long would that
protocol.
Take?
3 hours?
How many visits? Oh.
No, I'll probably one visit.
Really?
Probably one visit. It's not big.
Mm-hmm.
So usually the visit is if you large or if they have to come back and do color or whatever. This is just going to be black.
How does CBJ and your mom feel about the tattoos when you're a Ute?
In my house, you have no rights when you're a minor, but you can kind of do what you want when you get grown.
Okay.
So they support it, but then my mom had tattoos before she passed, and my dad has tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was the first one. I kind of broke the seal.
Oh, okay.
My grandmom has one.
Really?
Yep. I broke the seal. So awesome. Once I got one,
that's awesome.
Other people in the family started getting one. I was the first one.
Huh.
Yeah, and then everybody jumped. My brother has some. My sister has some. My mom did before she passed. My dad does.
Wow.
Yeah, but I was the first one. But they were, like, they really believe in that. Like, you don't really have rights as a kid. You do what you're told.
Uh-huh.
But once you become an adult, that actually meant something in my house. You like, you know, they still give advice, but you kind of do what you want.
By the way, have you seen the thing that Tobias was doing? Or I think he has done it consistently all year, where he's got the suction thing going on his shooting hand.
Cupping.
You had a cupping?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that used to be like a lot of people were into it back in the day, and I was curious to see him doing it.
Yeah.
Bringing blood to the area.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
I would like to try it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you need it for?
Well, they say it eliminates toxins. You can get it all over your body.
Yeah, but to come in here?
I don't know.
He's doing it to bring energy into his right shooting shoulder.
No, but it's like a holistic trend now, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not just for athletes anymore.
So if you do that, you think your updates will be a little sharper?
They might be.
I'm asking. Like, do you think, like, if you do that, you'll come in and be like, oh, Natalie, like, do you think
you never
different?
Know. I'd
well,
like to find
case,
out.
In that case, you have to get it on your face right here. Our neck right next to the mouth.
No, you have to do it now. And then we'll have to say, man, Natalie's real energized today.
Yeah, I am.
Credit to the place.
To the cupping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to try it. No, I've heard it's good for, like, your blood circulation and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, maybe we should all do it.
I'd be open to doing it.
So sure.
Turn us into spring chickens.
I need it, but I don't know.
I mean, I can do it for the running.
Not going to help me play golf. It could help for the running. Not going to help with golf.
What about tennis?
With the back, what do you mean? With your back, you could probably use that. Your back has been through the wringer.
Yeah, I do yoga.
Yeah, it's doing okay now. So I don't know. Maybe I'm back to playing tennis. Maybe I'll get the cupping for the forehand.
I think we should all go.
There you go.
All right. By the way, Eurojohn's on, right? Now, Eurojohn, I heard Anthony rip into him. Eurojohn was touting Boban starting last night as it was going to be a problem for Embiid. Well, we haven't heard from Eurojohn in a while, and usually the conversation gets ridiculous. But let's bring him in now. Eurojohn, are you actually going to defend that guy?
Mike, I'm going to explain something to you. If you're going to put the only coach that knew how to use Boban was Popovich. If you're going to start him or play him 10 minutes a game, last year I was saying, Burt Brown, why don't you run the Utah Jazz cross screen to get him a 2-foot layup or he's a decent foul shooter. He shoots 75 from the line. He'll get fouled or a dunk or make when he seals somebody, he's an elite player. Even Doc Rivers said back in the 90s game, he would be an elite player. Ask Doc Rivers next time.
Are you kidding me? Are you going to come on his show and say Boban Marjanovic is an elite player? Are you serious? Where do you get your nerve?
When they post the people up. If you're going to use him, you got to post them up. I said, if you're going to use him, you got to post them up early. Now, if you're going to just play pick and roll with Luka at the foul line and he's throwing bounce passes at his feet because he's scared of Ben, then he's not going to be great. But if you're going to post him up, he's got that little hook shot. He's going to make Joel use energy in the first quarter, which they never do because Carlisle is not a great coach, in my opinion.
You're a John.
Yeah.
Boban is a stiff. Now, please. I know he's European, and I know every European who's ever bounced the ball is the greatest in your life world, but come on.
When he sees Stiggs,
he's a clumsy oaf. He can't play a lick.
I'm not saying in today's game he's a great player, but if you're going to use him.
You said he's an elite player. You just said elite.
Doc Rivers says if you only used them in the 90s when they punched the people up like Carmelo and Shaq and all these guys, he got an elite.
It's the year 2021. He can't play.
Fine, but you're saying he's a stiff.
He's a total stiff.
He would beat you in 3-point contest in your prime, Mike. That's it. He can shoot threes.
Get out of here. Get out. I can't take it. 610-632-0. I swear to God. What is it about the Euro John? He can't see the light of day. He can't see past every European player. He's got to be great. What is that?
I don't know. And then
we're Americans. We can criticize American players, can't we?
Yeah. Oh, we do every day.
Exactly. This guy can't say Boban Marjanovic is a stiff.
No, not only is he good, and then Carlisle's a Hall of Fame coach, by the way. He's won a title. He's won a ton of games.
He's a very good coach.
He's one of the few coaches left in the league, along with Doc Rivers, with clout. Popovich, he's one of the few guys that can say what he wants and does what he wants. And now he stinks, too, because he doesn't know how to use Boban. Now Carlisle's championship doesn't count.
He fumbled the ball for at least 4 possessions near the basket, and he's 7'100". 610-632-0975. 2 open lines you can get in right now. Good time. We're going to go over the Howie Roseman trading next year, 2018. That's coming up after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Twitter poll update, Mike Missinelli Show. Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat, what's the update?
All righty, Mike. Poll number one, over 1,200 votes on this one. Is this new Ben Simmons here to stay? 80% say yes, 20% say no. And poll number two, do you still love goofy Philly sports characters like Manute Bol, Boban, Coy Detmer, and Pete Incaviglia, even though they didn't win titles here? 76% say yes, they were fun. 24% say no, all about winning.
Where was Pete Incaviglia goofy? Where was he?
I think it's just because he had a nickname.
People thought he was goofy.
What did he do that was goofy?
I had a beard and drank beer.
All right. I never saw him as goofy.
People thought he was
now,
goofy.
The pitcher was goofy because he ripped his shirt and stuff. The left-hander. Wait, he did the Hulk Hogan thing.
I don't remember.
Danny Jackson.
Oh, there you go.
Danny Jackson. But I compiled, I think, the most accomplished players who are also goofy.
All right.
So you're right. Ronick should be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Joel should be on the list. So he's down the list. Barkley should be on the list. Kelsey.
Yep.
We forgot the ultimate goof.
Who?
Number 5. We'll always love you. Yeah. Number five has to be the most
accomplished. Number five will always
He has to be
you.
The most accomplished goof ever here.
Right. Because he did the air guitar.
Right, the phone. The honey, yeah. He was a goof.
He was a goof.
Yeah.
He was a goof who didn't embrace Philly. Had he embraced Philly more with his goofiness, he'd be more beloved.
Yeah, the chunky soup thing.
Yeah, he was a goof. He was a goof.
Nah, he was a goof.
He used to, remember, he used to laugh when he was in completion. You know?
Yeah.
that sour face laugh.
Yeah.
People used to get on him for that. He's laughing. He'd be in a bad play. He's laughing about it. He would yawn on the sideline before the game.
Yeah. He was a goofy. Uh-huh. And he would dance a lot on the sideline.
Yeah,
he
dances. Yeah, he's goofy.
He was a goof. He's got to be number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
He is. He's the number one. So if you can, in order, you go Randall. I mean, you know, Randall gets off the list now. So that means it's McNabb. It's Kelsey, it's Barkley, it's Joel, it's Roenick.
Yeah.
Pretty good list.
Yeah, and all of those guys would have trouble buying a beer in this city.
Correct.
Except for five.
Yeah.
They charge him double.
Yeah.
They might.
Because people do not love him.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
That's interesting. All right, 610-622-0975. Friday. You know, for the rest of the show, let's just goof off.
Well,
let's just be goofy.
Here's one thing
for the rest of the show.
I'm great with that. I love
the goof.
Well, listen, I love it.
That's good.
But there's one thing that's troubling me. I'm serious. We have to allow ourselves to be a little positive sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And fans, I think, when it comes to Ben, for some reason, they get locked in the negativity mode.
Yeah.
And they only want to complain about him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain faction that's like that with Embiid. If Embiid has a bad shooting night, he's back to look at him. He's allergic to the paint.
Mm-hmm.
He won't do. I think that we have to, I would like to, a couple people who think that way, talk to Dr. Mike and maybe let him talk to you. Because it's not like Mike does like you do a softball show. You give people like if they deserve it, but.
Yeah, just like Euro John just now.
Right, right. But we don't have to be. Only talk about people when it's negative. There's certain people like that with Sixers Outsiders with Tobias. If Tobias plays a bad night, we get hundreds of tweets on Sixers Outsiders about how terrible he is.
Yeah.
When he gets 28, silence. And I think that's something we need to break. We're allowed to enjoy good, too, not just complain.
No, you're absolutely right. And for Ben today, he's impressing me as a changed guy. Now, again, I'm still not enamored with the fact he doesn't shoot it, but his attitude is different somehow. I can't explain it. He's got a hop to his step when he goes to the foul line. He's going hard to the basket. He's screaming a lot more when he dunks. He's like, you know, it's like he's on a mission, and I don't know what did it. I don't know what triggered it. And maybe it was the fact that they, in his head, that like, he couldn't believe they would almost trade him. And now he's going, okay, now I got to dip into the reservoir and enough of laying back. And I don't know what it is, but I'm seeing a new type of Ben here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go Dan on the cell. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan. Yo, Dan.
Hello.
Hello, Dan.
Hi. First time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm probably going to reflect my age here, but I'm going to give you somebody that you haven't said anything about yet, but Tim Rossovich was goofy.
Yeah, that's way back in the day. He was the guy who ate glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And set himself on fire.
Yeah, he set himself on fire. Natalie, he was a linebacker for the Eagles back in the day when they were terrible in the 60s or whatever, and his brother was in Top Gun.
Oh.
His brother was one of the hunks in Top Gun. In fact, his brother was Ice's partner.
Oh, really?
Yes. Whoever his name was. Slider?
Yes.
Yes, Slider.
Interesting.
That was Rossovich's brother.
That was his brother?
Yes.
Slider from Top Gun?
Yeah, Rick Rossovich, his name was.
Why'd he set himself on fire?
He was a character. He had this long, curly hair, and he put on a suit, and you know, it was like a trick.
Like
an
Evel Knievel type of guy?
Yeah. And he ate broken glass. Like, yeah, they wrote about these stories. He was very colorful. He was like a middle linebacker kamikaze type of guy
who did
like macho stuff like that.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
One more that was goofy was Jeff Stone.
He was just, he was kind of like airheaded instead of goofy. All right, Dan. Now, what do you want to say about Wentz, Dan?
Okay. I'm going to go to Wentz's defense here in the fact that with all the injuries that the offensive line had and the fact that he had nobody to throw to, he never stood a chance going into the season. And I think his biggest demise was he just tried too hard.
Maybe. I think he lost a lot of confidence. I don't know if it was trying too hard. I think he lost a lot of confidence in himself for various reasons.
Initially, I thought that, but you know what? When Mahomes did not have an offensive line in the Super Bowl, he looked awfully ordinary to me.
Yeah, but that was just one game, too, and that was a great defensive team.
But Wentz went through it every game.
Yeah, I hear you. And that can make you lose confidence.
So,
all right, buddy. You got it. Let's go to Nick in Fort Worth. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Good, man. Doing all right?
Yeah.
So my accomplished goofy guy, I'm going to say Chris Long. I don't know if y'all have said him yet, but two Super Bowl rings, you know, the Pee Wee Herman dance, the Shrine, the Long Cock thing.
He had a goofy side to him.
And then as far as Carson Wentz, I'll hang up. I was just going to ask you guys, do any of y'all want to see him have success with his new team? So appreciate the show, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, man. Nick in Fort Worth checking in in Texas. Please warmed up. Is he going to have success? Am I rooting for him? No, I'm not rooting for him to have success. I couldn't care less if he has success or not. But, you know, I'll help for him, his sake, he turns his career around. But I don't have any skin in the game.
I really, 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 really need him to have success the first year.
Because it allows the Eagles to benefit.
Yeah, so I need him. For year one, I'm a huge Wentz fan. After that, I don't care. But for 1 year, I need him to play really well because I want the first round pick.
Yeah,
and these fans that want to thread the needle of, he's going to play a lot, but they stink, that's not possible because the Colts are aware. And they'd rather give up a second round pick to the first round pick. So we need Wentz to play really well to get a first round pick. I don't care if the pick's 26.
And you need him to stay healthy, too.
Right. So I am, for one more year, I'm rooting for Carson Wentz in the best interest of the Eagles.
Yeah, but not personally. Like, you don't have any personal like to want him to succeed.
I mean, I need him as an Eagles fan to ball out.
Yeah.
Like, enough. I need him to make the playoffs.
But it's like you like Maxie. And if Maxie went to another team, you'd like him to succeed because you like him personally.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't really care one way or the other with Wentz personally.
I'm petty and I do.
You do? Because you like him personally?
Well, it's not that I like him personally. The Eagles, how it played out for him here, because I think that they were pretty atrocious with it, even though he was probably a diva, but still, like, I want to see him win just to kind of get back at Howie.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a fair thing. I think he could have been a little more open and...
He could have.
You know, like, bonded with... I don't think people got to know what he was. He was just kind of a plastic man.
I think if he was a little bit goofier, a lot of more fans would have had his back.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, he did... wear that hat.
But he wasn't trying to be goofy.
No, he wasn't trying. See, if he was trying to be goofy, that may have worked for me.
Yes.
So he's trying to be serious with that hat.
I want to play something for you. I want to spring this on you.
Uh-huh.
It's just what Howie said last year.
Uh-huh.
And then when we sit where we are now, just was this a lie or not? You could be the judge.
Okay.
Listen, I know Carson wants whatever he can to help this team this year. He is a Pro Bowl player, and he's not going anywhere. And I understand my job is different than our players' jobs. You know, my job is to protect the organization and to make sure that we're strong at every position. And so we told him about it. There's no threat to Carson here. Carson's a great player and a great person, and both these guys are great teammates.
And that was with the Hurts
thing. Yep. Now, I feel like at that moment when he said it, he was lying. I truly believe that. I believed it the whole time. I believe they drafted Jalen Hurts to replace Wentz, and they drafted him to play.
Play that again, because I'm thinking he's covering up that he didn't get a warm reception on this from Carson Wentz.
Listen, I know Carson wants whatever he can to help this team this year. He is a Pro Bowl player, and he's not going anywhere. And I understand my job is different than our players' jobs. You know, my job is protect the organization and to make sure that we're strong at every position. And so we told him about it. There's no threat to Carson here. Carson's a great player and a great person, and both these guys are great teammates.
We told him about it, but he didn't say, we told him about it. Carson was fine with it. He understands the quarterback room has to be strong, but he also understands that we think he's the starter. Didn't say that.
And right in the beginning, Neff.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know Carson wants whatever he can to help this team this year.
But we just drafted a guy that we think we like.
Yeah, uh-huh. That first sentence is so telling.
And that's why I think he was lying.
Yeah.
I truly do. And I think Wentz figured out they were lying. And that's the moment he lost confidence.
The tone sounds like Carson wasn't on board at all with it.
Of course not. And no one else would be.
Yeah.
Tom Brady wasn't.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we're going to go over Howie in 2018 with some trades now. This is the year after the Super Bowl on how he can sustain this Super Bowl champion. That's after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:46, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. What's everybody doing this weekend? Is it gonna rain? Is it supposed to rain this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll melt that snow, get it out, and then I believe next week, in the middle of the week, it's supposed to be warm again.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday and Friday.
All right, what, 50s?
Yep, 54 and 52 Thursday and Friday of next week.
I like it. All right, 610-622-0975. That's how you get it. All right, let's go through the drafting of Howie Roseman. Now, started this yesterday, the trading of Howie Roseman, this is. We talked about his drafts where he came in, according to Pro Football Focus, 30 out of 32 being successful with his draft. So let's see the trades that he has done in his tenure to shape the Eagles. We are now in the year 2018. He acquires Golden Tate during the season for a third-round pick. Golden really didn't do much.
No, but I blame a lot of that on Doug. I thought that was a decent trade, and Doug didn't perform. But he did catch the game-winning catch in a playoff game. So, game-winning touchdown in a playoff game. So, it's not bad.
All right, he acquired DeAndre Hall, the safety, from Chicago Bears for a conditional seventh-round pick.
Nothing trade.
He picks for picks. He traded number 32 overall in a fourth round of Baltimore for a second-round pick. All right, let's go.
No, that was the Lamar Jackson pick.
Yeah, that trade
led to Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Okay. So in April of that year, he acquired a seventh round pick from New England for a seventh round pick and a 2019 seventh round pick. They made a trade to ensure they could select Jordan Mailata.
And the fact that they drafted him and he started games, period, as a seventh round pick, that's a good trade.
All right. They acquired a second rounder from Indianapolis for a second round and a fifth. And they moved up to 49 to take Dallas Goedert.
Looks good. Doesn't look as good now as it did a year ago.
All right, now this is the one you're talking about. They traded 32 overall and a fourth round pick to Baltimore for a second, a fourth, and a 2019 second round pick. So the Ravens then took Jackson there with that selection.
Yeah.
And the Eagles used that to move up to take Goddard. And use the fourth round pick on Avante Maddox.
Maddox
has
had
second round pick. They got Miles Sanders.
At the time you didn't need a quarterback. That's a good trade. You can't worry about what Baltimore did because the Eagles were not going to take a quarterback then because they still liked their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And in March that year, before the season, he acquired Daryl Worley, a cornerback, for Torrey Smith.
Yeah, that was not a good trade.
Didn't go anywhere.
In fact, didn't he get released?
Worley?
I thought he got released because something happened.
He got released 1 month after he was arrested found passed out in his car, charged with 6 offenses, including driving under the influence.
So that's a bad trade because Tory was a solid citizen, and you brought back a guy who was trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right, let's get back to the phones. Dave in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike.
Dave, what's up?
Not much, man. Does the last name Worley mean to you besides that Phillies player?
Clarence Worley from True Romance.
There you go. Yep. I actually just want to shift back to the Sixers for a minute. If you would have offered me the chance between a Ben with an agenda or a free agent selection or a trade, I would have taken the Ben with a chip on his shoulder. And now we're in the position with Ben has a chip on his shoulder and we can still get like an addition through a trade or free agency. Are you as excited about the Sixers team as I am?
I'm getting there. I didn't think that as configured that they could win the East. I'm starting to think that maybe they can, but I don't think Morey is not going to make a deal. So I think he's going to help the team somehow.
I actually, like, despite the juggernaut the Nets are right now, I still think they can be defeated with good defense and just a deep bench.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, we say good defense. They got 3 bulls.
They do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Ben's a great defensive player. You got to guard. You got to guard other guys that can score at will. You know, and so that's what I worry about. And so what I think is you kind of got to score with them while you're trying to hold them down. And that is my concern. Like the bench scoring is a little minimal for the Sixers.
Either way, I'm going to be excited for the stretch.
I don't know. The chip on your shoulder is a good way to put it. How did they get there?
The Ben?
Yes. He's definitely playing with the chip. How did he get there?
If I knew that, I would probably write a psychology book.
All right. Do you have any theories? Well, what are the theories? Because I'm all out of Kendall theories.
I'm sorry.
All right. No, that's okay. Because maybe it's something that we can't answer. What was the trigger that makes him come out like a tiger lately? Think about that. I'll take all theories in the 5 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. Some news in the NBA. It's like the Raptors have been hit with a little COVID protocols problem. Nick Nurse and his 5 assistants are in COVID protocol right now. Wow.
Yeah, that's tough.
Lowry may have to step in and coach that squad right now.
He should.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, he may have to. That's a lot. So They haven't specified all the names due to they'll eventually get to it because it's coaching. But my guess is somebody from that back line is probably going to have to be the head coach. And the tough part is he just lost his lead assistant that became the head coach from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So people think that will affect them for how long, who knows. But I don't know who's going to be running the timeouts, literally. Like, I have no idea.
Get Kyle in there.
How does that work?
I bet you they would listen to Kyle.
Yeah. Well, what you do is you have someone designated as a coach to call the timeout, but that coach could just sit there.
Yeah.
Kyle could do it. I wouldn't be shocked, but how long will he be there?
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Just saying. Maybe they got to keep him a little longer now until the coaches get clear of COVID.
Keep him the coach squad. 610-632-0975. We are back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock, the world-famous 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. It doesn't get any bigger hour than 5 o'clock on a Friday. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Their big winter sale has been extended through this end of this month. You got a couple days left to take advantage. 40% off all windows and doors in Feb. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. This is a heads up. Like next week, we're starting a new feature at 3:30 every day. It's going to be called Nat's News, where Nat ferrets out some unusual or interesting or funny or heartbreaking stories. Three, and she'll present them to the audience and to us.
That's right. And it might be about ferrets.
Exactly.
You never know.
Now I'm going to give you a type of example we're talking about here because I just ran across one a story that maybe would make Nat's News.
Okay.
Apparently there is a seafood cereal bandit in
seafood?
Connecticut. Yes, a cereal bandit of seafood.
Okay.
The guy is hitting grocery stores, stealing seafood.
Hasn't this happened before?
I think so, but this guy...
Is it lobster?
No, it's shrimp.
Huh.
He's gone, like, he's snatching hundreds of dollars worth of pricey shrimp. I'll just read the story as it's written.
Okay.
The first paragraph says, he was prawn in 60 seconds.
Yes!
Connecticut... Connecticut cops.
Yes.
Connecticut cops are trying to hook a cereal seafood bandit
Gold.
Who allegedly snatched hundreds of dollars worth of pricey shrimp from several grocery stores, according to a report Friday. Things got fishy at around 3:45 p.m.
It's beautiful.
On Sunday, when the thief stuffed 35 pounds of frozen shellfish valued at $1,100. Into a bag at the Adams IGA supermarket and then sped off. Workers at the shop didn't notice the crook had gotten his claws on the crustaceans until after he had fled in a blue Toyota SUV with taped up windows and no plates. The man is husky and he's likely in his 30s or 40s. He was caught on the store's surveillance camera. So they're calling him the seafood bandit up there. In Connecticut.
Yeah, interesting. Did it say what kind of shrimp? Did he go for the jumbo?
High end.
Oh, high end.
It said high end shrimp.
So probably the jumbo.
Yeah, police were preparing an arrest warrant charging the totally shellfish guy with fourth degree larceny. So that's the kind of story that you... Ty's not amused at all. He's not amused at the play on words at all.
What? Prawn in 60 seconds.
See, like that, you know, I'm looking forward to the segment.
There's so many.
It's a clever way to write the story.
Yeah.
The author of the story, it's in the New York Post. Sure, her name's Natalie O'Neill.
Oh, my goodness. See, it's a sign.
It's a pretty clever way to write about a goofy story like that.
Oh, I love it.
It's a total tabloid type of version.
I wonder what they're going to do when they catch him.
Yeah, I mean, how do you prove it?
They've got him on security cam.
No, I know, but like...
I mean, how do you prove it?
Right, yeah, I guess. I didn't think about that. Because the shrimp's already gone.
Probably he's in disguise, so I don't know. Maybe he can't eat that much shrimp. It's in his freezer.
He
must be selling it.
What was he selling? He's selling it out of a truck, I guess.
How much?
$1,100 worth.
$1,100 worth?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you could do that a couple of days.
Yeah, I could eat $1,100 worth of shrimp.
A couple of days, but where's he going to store? He's got to store it in the freezer. Just like they catch the guy, they get his apartment and catch him with the goods.
You said Massachusetts, right?
Connecticut.
In Connecticut, so it's cold up there. You put it in bags and you bury it in the yard.
He's burying the shrimp in the yard.
Okay, possibly.
Because it's cold out. It's cold enough, you got the frost. Frost line to keep it. Yeah, keep it out in the yard like guys used to do with the money back in the day.
Possible he's doing that.
That's to be the only way. You can't keep all that in the freezer. It's hot.
Yeah. See, you know, it takes a lot of gall to stuff all that in a bag and run it out. Like, yeah, I've known people that have like slid steaks inside their shirt and stuff.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know people who.
Well, I didn't really know people, but
you've been aware
of. It would wear like an Animal House. They did that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. If you were to steal one food in mass quantity, what would it be?
That's a tough question.
In a grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough question because you don't want to steal.
I'm going to the meats. Yeah, I'm going, you know.
Ribeye?
Expensive meats. Certainly. What else am I going to get? Canned goods?
No, I don't know.
Expensive meats I'm going for.
I'm going for the seafood. It probably would be the shrimp.
Yeah, you're a shrimp man.
You're a shrimp man.
You know what else I would probably get? I would get some sort of the high-end fish.
Oh.
Like, I'm not stealing a fountain.
That's tilapia.
That's the high-end fish they usually put behind the counter, though, with the, you know, that they have the fish counter where they have the fishman who
I would like 100 cuts, whatever you got. Give it to me.
Oh, so you're gonna put him into play, the guy into play to actually give you a bag of fish, and then you're going to run out.
He's going to think I'm going to go pay for it, obviously, at the local grocery store.
Yeah.
Only I got a different plan. Stuff it. I got an escape plan.
You got like a big North Face jacket on. You slide it in there.
That, like, near the bathroom sometimes, it's like the employee locker room. In my mind, there's an emergency exit somewhere there.
Yeah.
I just walk out.
That's smart.
Yeah.
But see, I don't want to steal food, but I'm just saying I would get something and then.
You get the seafood, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
High-end seafood.
Yeah, because that's expensive.
What high-end, what would they have that would be high-end enough? I know you're a salmon man, too. So.
Yeah, but salmon's not, it's not cheap.
Where would you go? What's the highest-end? The highest-end fish would be lobster, wouldn't it?
Swordfish?
Yeah, they can't take that. The swordfish, bronzino.
Tuna steaks?
Yeah, the tuna steaks aren't cheap.
No.
Yeah, I guess tuna steaks.
Mm-mm. Those aren't cheap. You're talking, they cost as about as much as steaks cost.
They do.
Yeah. So, you walk out with that. Thanks, sir. Have a great day. I'm wearing my mask so they don't know who I am.
Yeah.
Got like a hood on.
Probably getting like a couple $20 porterhouses.
Yeah.
Stuff them in there. Yeah. All right, Steve on the cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's up, Steve?
Couple things. First of all, I think you left out as far as accomplished goofy players. Mm-hmm. We have, you said Embiid, but we have another one, Dwight Howard. He's the one. He used to be one of the biggest goofs out there.
Yeah, but not enough of a Philly brand yet. Okay. You know, he's he's only been here a little bit, so.
Right. Well, he was a goof, though.
Yeah, he's total. Yeah, we mentioned that earlier today. Okay. But, you have to have lasting goof power here.
You asked another question. You said, what's the secret? Why did Ben, you said, why?
Yeah, what unlocked them?
I gotta say Doc Rivers and the coaching staff. I mean, the same way Tobias Harris has been unlocked, you know, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
He's
been more unlocked over the last couple of weeks, though, right? Because when he first started out, we were still complaining, and he was still in play to trade for Harden. But something unlocked recently.
Well, that's true. But as far as in the beginning, I mean, I think, you know, he was just Doc was feeling him out. Like, you know, he had to work his way in. Yeah, so I give credit to the coaching staff. You know, Sam Cassell, too. So that's what I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's had a lot to do with it. He's had, like, terror in his eyes lately, you know? He just looks like a different dude.
No, he does. Now, I'm hoping, like you said, this last game they won, but he wasn't the Ben that scored 42-point Ben.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that. I'm sure he's not going to score 40.
Yeah, I mean, he put like 80% of his energy on that defensive end for that game. He gets motivated by causes, too.
He does, but the thing is, what's the cause? Now,
cause was he wanted to lock Luka up last night. That was evident.
Yeah, true that. But that's all I had.
All right, man. Good call. Thank you. All right, let's go Rich in Abington. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller here.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, so pretty much I wanted to talk about the whole Simmons situation, and something that I feel like I've noticed is that every time right before the All-Star break, I feel like Ben Simmons kind of laces up his shoes a little bit differently. Like, he's always kind of at that bottom of the list to where I feel like he doesn't want to get snubbed. And he just kind of puts it all out.
This is a theory that a lot of people think about that.
He puts it on towards
the All-Star game. I don't think so because I just think his demeanor is different now. So it's not like a temporary, I got to play hard for a couple weeks to get on the All-Star team. Now, he may have some relief that he's on the All-Star team, but I don't know. I just see a different guy attacking. I haven't seen many of these fake attacks where he gives up 2 feet from the basket. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Nah, you're absolutely right. But I just feel like that all-star break, he wants to be there right beside Embiid. But that's just me.
You're not the first guy to have the Ben all-star run type of theory.
But yeah, one more thing I want to bring up here.
Yes, sir.
What do you think that it would take for the Sixers to actually be able to acquire Zach LaVine?
They couldn't.
Yeah, you don't think so?
You make the deal.
I mean, obviously it would have to include a ton of draft picks because obviously you want to keep the big three here in Philly. But as far as even doing like two first-round picks, maybe even consider throwing Maxey in there. I know everybody loves
him. Yeah, but you see, you're still not matching the salary. You got to look at what LaVine makes. And you got to trade players that are commensurate to. Well, I don't know what is he making right now, LaVine? Is he making 30 million? 25?
I'm pretty sure he's a.
Well, whatever. You're going to have to give up salary to get him. But ask yourself this: why would the Bulls want to trade him? He's a young, budding star player. Like, what would they get out of trading him?
I mean, they're just kind of in the middle of the pack to where I feel like if they actually want to actually move forward. And
yeah, well, how are they moving forward by trading their best young player?
Well, they're acquiring more assets by getting these.
They're acquiring crappy draft picks. That's what they're acquiring. What are they acquiring? They're acquiring draft picks in the late 20s.
You want to talk about crappy, though? I can't stand Danny Green.
Okay, well, like, why would they? Okay, they would have to take. Okay, they would have to take back Danny Green. So this is the thing you got to figure out. It's all well and good to think that you have your claws in another player. It's going to help you. But you got to approach it like how the other team is approaching it. There is absolutely no value to the Bulls to trade him. None. He's a young enough player that you can build around. Now, if he was in his late 20s, his way, contract situation, whatever, but there's no way they would trade him. They couldn't benefit by trading him to the Sixers.
No, and he's only 25 years old.
Yeah, so.
And he's on the old max. So $19.5 million this year, mm-hmm. $19.5 million another year.
Yeah,
so it'll only be 26. They can still re-sign him again.
The Sixers, like, fans will go, okay, yeah, another team would be willing to give you their best young player. Like, why? For what? Well, for draft picks. Okay, those draft picks, the Sixers are good, right? Those draft picks stink. You know, in the NBA, what, the first 10 draft picks can play. And then you get lucky sometimes. But like somebody at 29, that's not an automatic hit that you're going to get.
No. What they would need is LaVine to say, I want out and I'll only go to the Sixers.
Yeah.
Which he's not going to do.
No, he's... He's living life right now. He's thinking the Bulls could build something around him, and he's the front man for it and the whole bit.
Well, I think a year from now he's going to want out.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they can't build anything around him. They haven't shown any ability to, but I think right now it's still like, but once he's on the last year of the deal and he has leverage, I think he'll look to his left, look to his right, and say, all right, I want out. But now, he's not going to do
that.
He
gives them a brand in a big city, though, right? So if you run that franchise and you get rid of him, then what do you got? What do you have that in a major city? Like, you're making yourself worse for what reason?
That's this year. Next year, though, would be the last year of his deal. I'm saying I think next year he'll want out.
Okay, because they would have to sign him to a max deal.
Right, and he'll say, I'm not going to re-sign because why would I?
Yeah, so, well, that timing doesn't work for the Sixers.
No, it doesn't help the Sixers at all.
No.
Oladipo would be your best bet if you want a younger guy other than Lowry. Oladipo's your best bet. He's a free agent, and we don't know what Houston's plans are, but it doesn't appear. They keep talking about getting younger and blah, blah, blah. He didn't like being in Indiana. I doubt he loves being in Houston.
Yeah.
He would probably be the best bet.
All right, couple open lines, 610-620-975. Is anybody interested in what Mel Kiper has to say in his latest draft? His mock draft is out here. Is it the end for Mel? This is the final one? Because it doesn't look like it's a 2.0 or anything. Is this the actual draft?
No. The draft's not for several months.
Is this his last
final version?
Is this his last mock? Is this his final version?
No.
This is his first one?
No, it's not. It's just his most recent version.
Yeah, well, he usually labels it the first one ever that
included trades.
Let me see.
He usually labels it 1.0, 2.0, whatever.
Unless he got fired, he's going to be releasing another one next month.
Well, here's what he's released now. Number one, obviously, Trevor Lawrence. Two, he's got the Jets taking Devontae Smith at two.
They need a playmaker.
The Dolphins from Houston take Ja'Marr Chase at 3.
Interesting. Also needed playmaker.
The Falcons go QB. And they get the successor to Matt Ryan, Zach Wilson from BYU.
You know, he'll fit right in that mold. Never win anything, but have some cute little numbers, and they'll just keep on not winning the Super Bowl.
5. The Bengals, see, every mock draft that I see, the Bengals are locked on Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. And that's a good, solid selection for the Bengals since Joe Burrow's getting clobbered.
Yeah.
The Eagles at 6. Who could it be? It's Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver from Alabama. I would say no to that. I don't think they would do that.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen people say that he's also can't miss.
I think if it came down to me...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Taking Jalen Waddle or trading back, I might trade back. Well, are you okay with that? You take Jalen Waddle at 6? The way this draft is going, you select Jalen Waddle.
No, but I, at that point, I take the tight end.
Okay.
Flat out.
All right,
I think he's the best player.
You would say no to Mel on Jalen Waddle at 6.
And okay. I would take, because I think he could be the best player in the draft, so I'm going best player
he's
there.
Still on the board, and he's still on the board at 7 when the Detroit Lions take Justin Fields at 7.
That sets them up pretty good.
All right, so they got Justin Fields hovering over Goff.
Yeah, Goff's only for 1 year. They're not going to cut him.
Carolina Panthers. Matt Rule. Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State.
People like him. I mean, he's been a first-round pick throughout the whole thing. That's not a reach.
Denver Broncos at 9 take Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State.
Yes, who one scout said he's basically a 245-pound safety. He's a can't-miss player because he can play all over. That's a good pick.
Tight end still on the board. At 10, the Dallas Cowboys take Rashawn Slater, offensive lineman from Northwestern.
Yeah, see, they got injuries there now. That's a reach, though.
The New York Giants at 11, Kyle Pitts. The tight end goes in the Giants.
That's trouble.
That is trouble.
That's trouble.
49ers at 12. Quarterback still on the board. What do? They take Patrick Surtain, the cornerback from Alabama, at 12.
That's great value.
13, the Chargers. Still pretty good offensive tackle on the board, and they take him. Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech.
Also, I think that's too high. You can trade back and get him.
Minnesota Vikings go with an offensive tackle / guard, Elijah Vera Tucker from USC.
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
The New England Patriots, they go quarterback, Mac Jones, they select. It's a pretty good pick for them.
Yeah.
And the Arizona Cardinals at 16. Take Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech.
He's a really good player. He sat out. So that's the thing that's going to make the draft interesting. The players that opted out, how will they be judged from how will their workouts play out? With Chase, him, Parsons. I'm interested in because they've forgotten about for the fans. Will fans be upset and say, who is that guy? Like that Virginia Tech corner was high. Yeah, he was rated higher than Surtain. Mm-hmm. Before the season opts out, obviously Surtain puts together another year, but he may be a better player.
Yeah, he's 6'2", too. I like big corner.
He's a big corner, and he's physical enough. He likes to tackle. There are people who thought he was a better player than Surtain before, but one guy played, one guy opts out, and now we'll see where it falls.
All right, there's no other quarterback taken in the first round, and the highest profile skill player is taken by the Bills. Najee Harris, the running back, who I like a lot, goes to the Bills at 30, according to this mock draft. All right, 610 632-0975. Let's go with Jeremiah in Princeton. What's up, Jeremiah?
How you guys doing?
How you doing?
I just gotta tell y'all, I listen to your show every single day. Me and my dad love listening to you.
I appreciate that, Jeremiah. Thank you so much.
So with the latest in the mock draft that's coming out, you know, I've been telling some of my friends, I'm personally a Denver fan, and I would like to see us get Micah Parsons. But as far as the Eagles go, I would love to see you guys get the...
That's a violation.
And how's that?
Well, Princeton is kind of on the line. You're a Denver fan?
Yeah.
How do you get Denver in that? Like, I don't care that you're not an Eagles fan, but where's Denver coming to play?
My dad loved John Elway growing up, and my dad raised us to be Broncos fans.
Did you grow up in Princeton area?
No, I actually grew up in South Jersey. So
that's a violation.
Yeah, violation on Pop, man.
Yeah.
Violation on Pop. Pop's got to let you make up your own mind. Yeah. Yeah, I know, but I have to tell you, I have a talk with Pop. But anyway, go ahead. What was the rest of your combo?
So me and a couple of my friends were just talking about how they don't want to see Devontae Smith or Ja'Marr Chase. They'd rather go after Kyle Pitts or one of the offensive line trade up to get them. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to convince them that these guys are game-changing players. You know, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith, you have to go after one of those wide receivers if you have the chance to get them, because you have one of the best receivers in the game and could possibly be a game-changer in the NFL.
Well, I agree. If both of those guys are there, I'd be hard-pressed not to take them. But according to this mock draft that I just said, they're both gone. So do you then take Waddle at 6? Is he worth that?
If you have the opportunity to get Kyle Pitts later on there, then if you don't have those two top options, then you either go Kyle Pitts. So I think that would be the better option.
All right, so you're saying if both the top two are gone, you take Kyle Pitts at 6?
I just think Waddle's is not as proven as the top two are.
Mm-hmm. You know, they would do that. Tyrone, you would do that, right? You would take Pitts there instead of Waddle, wouldn't you?
I would. I think he's that good.
All right, let's take a break. If you want to squeeze in, you can certainly squeeze in. You can make it legendary, man. The last thing we think about as we go into our weekend, the last thing anybody's listening is thinking about is your call. I mean, that's a challenge. 610-632-0975. You got what it takes? Hit us up. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers for today on a Friday show. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Save your back. Get a snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown. And often, if you have one and you need a little repair or need some parts, they've got a full-service repair shop if your snowblower has seen better days. Check them out in person in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Final numbers, Nat.
Alrighty, Mike. Over 1,300 votes on poll number 1. Is this new Ben Simmons here to stay? 80% say yes, 20% say no. And then poll number 2 has over 400 votes on it. Do you still love goofy Philly sports characters like Manute Bol, Boban, Coy Detmer, and Pete Incaviglia, even though they didn't win titles here? 76% say yes, they were fun. 24% say no, all about winning.
Yeah, Coy Detmer was the guy who used to take a toothbrush and that's it on a road trip.
Yep, and he'd get stuff there once he arrived at like a Target or a Kmart or whatever.
Legend.
He was a funky little dude. A little dirtball type of dude.
Yeah, completely different from his brother.
Yeah, he was.
Both of them played here, but he was beloved here. When he did that rodeo thing.
I remember loving him. What rodeo thing are you talking about? I don't even remember.
Touchdown pass, he did like a gesture that Andy Reid didn't like, and But the people loved it at the time.
I don't remember it.
Well, you
I only yeah, I remember he just take a toothbrush on the road. I don't remember anything notable that he ever did. Whatever. By the way, Andrew Yang had a little situation today.
Oh, what's he up to?
He was on the Staten Island Ferry. Okay. And a news photographer was a small media entourage accompanying Yang on a tour of Staten Island.
Uh-huh.
When another ferry passenger began accosting the photographer. The attacker approached the photographer on the top outdoor deck shortly after the boat sailed past the Statue of Liberty. The photographer was chatting on the phone with a friend when a man wearing a black cowboy hat and jeans walked over to him and stood a few inches from his face. The photographer said, "What up? What's up?" And he immediately shoved me, and he tumbled down. I get back up, and he raised a steel bar, a broomstick handle, over his head, and he was ready to strike me.
Wow.
So Yang sees the commotion from inside and runs out to the deck, and he calmed the assailant. And one of the reasons he calmed him is because the assailant recognized him.
Interesting.
So he defused the issue and talked the guy down.
Why was the guy attacking him?
There's no details on why the guy was attacking him. He called the one after Yang got occupied the attacker. One of the other members of the media entourage went and they got the security people that were on the ferry. And they handled it from that point on with the dude.
Yeah, I don't believe the story.
You know, really? You don't believe the story?
I think the guy's a paid actor. Yeah, he's not tough.
Well, why didn't he go after Yang then? Like, why go after the photographer?
You go after the photographer. Because Yang told him, all right, you go after my photographer. You'll push him down.
Oh, you think this is a publicity stunt to make Yang look good?
Yeah.
You think Yang orchestrated it?
Yeah. Flat out.
For what? Publicity? God.
Yeah, because his publicity is not going well. He went to a bodega that wasn't a bodega, and it was clear he had never been in a bodega before. you're running for mayor of New York. You don't know what a bodega is when you're in New York, which they're not hard to find. And now this is now he's a hero.
Wait, the guy was wearing a cowboy hat?
Cowboy hat, jeans, looks like he's got black
pole?
Boots on.
And a metal
he's
pole.
He's got a...
walking around.
He has a mask. Yeah, it looks like it's a broom handle that's unscrewed. You know how it screws into the bottom? Yeah, it looks like it's one of those. And they have photos. They have photos of Yang talking to the guy.
I believe Yang spoke to the guy.
So wait a minute. I'm starting to think about your theory. So calmly, the photographer who was part of the media entourage almost has like a posed picture coming over the attacker's back, taking a picture of Yang's face.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Because you get pushed down. His camera obviously wasn't damaged. So how hard did you really get pushed?
Well, but why is a cowboy attacking a photographer with a broom handle anyway?
Because Yang told him to.
He just has a cowboy hat on. It's like a cowboy hat on, but he's got a... He's got like a white covering over his head.
Is it a Stetson?
It just looks like a black hat.
Yeah, that's not that strange. Like... You're fixating on a hat. That's not that weird.
Well, I don't know. Why is he a cowboy?
He's not a cowboy.
He's not.
He just has a hat on.
People wear hats.
To be a cowboy hat. He's got like regular shoes on and jeans and a purple top. It's not like cowboy attire. It's just a hat.
His shirt's purple?
Over his...
No, people wear purple.
His shirt.
I have to see this
his
guy.
His shirt is purple. What's so odd about a purple? It's like a sweatshirt looking thing.
Yeah, wearing a sweatshirt.
And it's purple.
He's wearing a purple sweatshirt and a cowboy hat.
I don't know why you're
And he's wielding a broom handle. Yes, I mean, supporting Ty's theory because this is so bizarre.
Yeah, he's got a. There's a picture of Yang, another picture. And you can see in the background, the attacker is like hiding kind of in a little corridor of the of the ferry.
And then
it does look like these photos look like they're staged. They really do. I have to say.
Oh, I see them.
And then when they arrive, what they'll do is they'll have the hey, this guy's had a tough day. We're doing a pandemic. Show the man a little compassion. He doesn't get arrested. He gets the 50, 100 bucks, whatever, 200 bucks. He goes home, and now he's a hero. Now that guy's a hero because I'm telling you, he's not tough. And I can tell you this.
Listen, he's not. He didn't come out and clock the guy. He came out and he reasoned with him. That's like that's what the story's about. That he came out and calmed the guy down, and the guy recognized him, and that helped defuse the situation.
Yes, and the guy, what I'm saying is he had a weapon. I'm not going near a guy to talk to a guy with a weapon unless it's staged. Otherwise, I'd be like, hey, somebody, security, somebody go help that man. Why am I going out there and putting my life on the line?
Wait, hold it. If this happened to you and you saw that kind of situation, would you intervene?
No.
You would not intervene?
No.
Really?
I would not intervene. Of course not.
Well, hold on.
The man has a weapon.
You got somebody, if somebody's in trouble, and like an assaulting type of trouble, you wouldn't go over and help the dude?
Is it a friend or a stranger?
No, it's just somebody. It's like you... What?
No.
I would be in there in a second to help somebody.
And you'd have got clocked with a broomstick.
Well, maybe I will get clocked, but I couldn't just watch it. Wait, I would try to help out.
That's
a one-on-one fight.
Well, yeah, but like somebody's in trouble. I think it's a fellow person, so I...
Mm-hmm. Gotta be very careful jumping in these kind of things. I don't know what other weapons this man might have. My job is to leave home and then make it home safe.
This is so weird.
It's not that weird.
No, I'm saying this guy.
Well, man, I expect a little more from you.
Get in
there and help a brother. You know? Come on.
I can't. The thing is, Mike, we got to be smart about this. Let's do
that. I'm saying it's not smart, now, but it's like a reaction.
My natural reaction is mind your business. Unless I know the person. Then by all means. But strangers, now if it's a woman, I step in. But this is a grown man versus a grown man. You win some, you lose some, but you live. That's how I look at it, from Friday.
Huh.
One-on-one. Now, if it's two-on-one or something like that, or if it's somebody you know.
If a guy has a guy in a position where he's got the guy down and helpless and he's going to hurt the guy, grab around the other, go in there and grab the guy and, try to hold him off or something?
No. That doesn't come natural for me. What comes natural for me is, hey, that's one-on-one. I don't know what the photographer might have done. Like, I don't know people's business like that to be interfering.
Uh-huh.
He might have a reason for having a problem with that guy. I don't know. Now, if it's a woman, kids, or a friend, by all means.
Yeah.
Or if it's a group. It's a group of people. But one-on-one, let him shoot the fair one. You know what I might do? I might get the stick from the guy.
All right, well, that's something.
Get the stick.
Hey,
put the stick down. If I'm running for mayor.
I'm just saying, I get it. So, at least you admitted you would try to get the stick. If you're inside, you're looking through the window, you've seen all this, and you're going, right? That's the way you would handle it? You wouldn't even go out to the deck and try to say, no, with the stick?
My gut would be to not go out there.
Put that stick down there, cowboy.
It was my instinct.
You don't want it.
That's not natural for me because it's not natural for me because bad things happen sometimes to the good Samaritan.
Listen, that's the risk you take as a human. You can't worry about a bad thing happening if you're trying to be a Samaritan. You got to be worried about the Samaritan part of it.
That's
before you worry about you getting hurt.
So you're a wise man, Mike. I am not. So the way I'm looking at it is it's a fight now. I see it's two people fighting.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what their issue is. Maybe I should mind my business. Are there police? Where is security? If I have my own security with me, if I'm running for mayor, I'm going to have my own security. I would have my own security guy go out there to secure it, because if he clocks him with that pole, he might in there coming looking for me.
That's the wise thing to do. However, there's a circumstance. Like, the guy got pushed down on the ground, and the guy's got a menacing stick. At that point, that doesn't trigger you to go out and try to help the situation? Because that guy's about to get his head blasted with a stick.
Maybe.
What would Booney do here? Has Booney weighed in yet on this?
He usually
has an opinion on this.
Yeah, I'd like to know what Booney would do.
Yeah, well, he's a Delco hard guy. So he would climb right in there, I think.
See, if it's a friend, it's no big. Here's the thing. If the guy's my friend, we're dumping that dude into the water.
But, dude, everybody's supposed to be a friend. A human being in trouble should be a de facto friend.
I would be the same way.
What does Booney say there, Natalie?
Booney says, I'm staying out of it. I got kids.
He said, do I know these people? That's what I'm saying. There has to be a certain level of mind your own business.
I got kids. That's what he said.
What if he doesn't make a home safe to his children?
I got kids too. But I'm thinking, like, the first thing that in my head, somebody's in trouble. I had to help out.
Come on, Mike.
I think that's a nice instinct to have.
I don't. I think that we all need to perhaps just always measure, is what I'm saying. Now, if it's 2-on-1, different. Hey, fellas.
All right, let me ask you this one. You're in a donut shop.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the guy in front of you, you think he's getting donuts, pulls a gun on the donut man.
Uh-huh.
You're behind the donut man.
I'm behind the donut man.
You're like a customer that's behind. Behind the guy with the gun.
Uh-huh.
Would you make an attempt to tackle the man?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
He has a gun.
You would.
I think I might. Because if I go down that way, is there a more righteous way to go down?
Yes.
You're trying to prevent somebody from getting...
In your sleep of old age. That's the most righteous way to go. In your sleep of old age. I am not... Because what happens if you get in there for the tackle and you fail?
The testimonials that you would get if you actually did that and tried to save somebody's life and you haven't been... You got shot. And now you're in a hospital. You survive.
Uh-huh.
You can write your ticket for the rest.
Yeah, free donuts, everybody. And now I'm not getting shot for free donuts. So what I'm doing is I'm sauntering my way out of there, hoping that the door doesn't have a chime. And I'm calling 911 because I'm not getting shot for a stranger.
Mike's going out in blaze of glory.
I'm sauntering out of there and hope the door doesn't have a chime.
I'm not jumping in there.
If it has a chime, the guy turns around and shoots you, right?
No, because I'm crawling low. I'm crawling to the door very slowly. If I hear a little bit of a chime, I'm just laying on the desk. Say, I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing. I don't even know. English not my first language. You're good, man. Just do what you got to do and get out of here.
I got held up at a gas station once. I got to tell you this story. Now, I got held up with a guy that took a little gun out of a bag. It was on Broad and South.
Uh-huh.
And I was headed to...
I know that's gas station.
Yeah. And so I get the... And I'm feeling it. And the guy goes, yo, can you give me a ride? And I go, no, man, I'm in a hurry. He goes somewhere. He goes, yeah, I can just take this car from you. And he pulls out a gun. So wow. I'm thinking, this is what went through my head. I swear to God. I want to pull the gas thing out and squirt him.
With gasoline?
With gasoline.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Right, like that's what went through my head. Not to he's going to kill me at this point, and not that he wants my money. I think that I can pull the gas thing out and keep it flowing and douse him.
See, you're fight and he's flight. They say there's two instincts when you're in situations.
I had a gun pulled on me before.
Yeah,
I told the guy to do it. Well, that was all fight.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's fight or flight. When it comes to somebody else, I'm just flight.
Okay.
I'm fight with myself.
That's fair.
I'm not fighting for strangers.
I said, I'm not giving you a ride, man. He's giving you money. I'll just take it. I go, all right. I had like $40 or whatever. So I gave him $40. But my first instinct was, and I'm even thinking, because I got a lighter in my pocket. I had a lighter in my pocket. I'm thinking... I can do one of those,
douse with gas and throw it like the dog fire.
In Point Break. In Point Break. I saw Patrick Swayze do it in Point Break. Remember he did?
Yes,
he did
but come on, man. You're not trained to do that.
That's why I
got one chance.
It crossed my mind to do it. All right, let's take a break. And we got sound off coming your way.
I can't breathe.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You coming to beef face with me? What is it? The hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. Just a quick sound off today. 610-771-9705. Keep that for the weekend and hit us up if you got something to say with a little message recorded. And you may make it on sound off. Let's see what we have today.
Mike Missanelli is absolutely right on this one. All that matters is how well you play on the court. I and nor should anybody else should care about how good of a person you are off the court or what you do off the court or any of the stupid antics. I don't care about any of that. Just play well on the court. And look at Michael Jordan. Probably the biggest jerk who ever played in the NBA. But he's without a doubt the second best player of all time. And despite that, he was a jerk. So who cares? As long as you can play.
No, listen, I don't want a jerk. We're talking about being a goof where you know, it's like a circus clown type of situation. And that lingers for a while. But to me, it doesn't last. Because if you're not good, it wears people out.
I love Kyle Lowry, but he's 34, Mike. I don't know if he gives you enough. So they would probably have to do another move. Now, the guy who I'm actually more interested in from Toronto would be Powell. He's a better shooter. He can also get to the basket. He's one of those guys that can give you instant offense off the bench. Now, I know you would want Kyle Lowry, but that's going to cost you Maxey.
Yeah, but like Powell is not like, why would they dispose of him? He doesn't make any money, and he's a young player, so they probably wouldn't want to get rid of him. Lowry, they want to get rid of him for a reason, because he's no longer a fit there, probably. All right, let's close it down. Just two quick calls.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All righty, that was sound off, and that concludes the week. Thanks, everybody, for participating and listening this week. Stay tuned. 97.5 The Fanatic has the Draft Line Show with Devon and Jamie, and on NBC Sports Philly. Oh, this is an interesting program. Building a Memory, The Spectrum. Oh, it's near and dear to us all. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. We'll talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.